IE America and wins.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Show. The Peter Werby Show is next on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. The head of British intelligence today is warning the war against terror won't be over anytime soon. Eliza Manningham Buller made the comments in her first public speech since taking over MI5 last year. The latest from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
The intelligence chief warns an attack on a Western city is only a matter of time. Ms. Manningham Buller says there's now a realistic possibility of an unconventional attack that could include chemical, biological, radiological, or nuclear weapons. She says intelligence suggests renegade scientists have given terror groups information they need to create such weapons. The MI5 chief also pinpointed the Al-Qaeda terror network as the first truly global threat, saying breaking the link between terrorism and religious ideology is difficult. Suzanne Chislett, London.
Iran today is reiterating it is not pursuing any nuclear weapons capabilities. Tehran responding to intense international pressure this week over its nuclear energy program, which Washington says is simply a cover for weapons production. More from Middle East correspondent Roxana Saberi in Tehran.
The Speaker of Iran's parliament is rejecting U.S. allegations that Iran is developing nuclear weapons and supporting terrorism. Mehdi Karoubi says Iran does not have a nuclear weapons program and has no intention of developing one. His comments come as the head of the U.N.'s Atomic Energy Agency released a report saying Tehran had failed to report certain nuclear activities. Also in Iran, the capital was relatively calm after 6 nights of protests against hardline clerics and the slow pace of reforms. Roxana Saberi, Tehran.
The U.S.-backed roadmap for peace, as it's being called, will be getting what many see as a big boost this week, with Secretary of State Colin Powell reportedly bound for Israel for talks aimed at ending the renewed violence in the region. U.S. officials are not elaborating on the details of Powell's scheduled trip. However, Israeli radio says he'll meet with Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and Foreign Minister Sylvan Shalom before heading to the West Bank to meet with Palestinian officials.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time party training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
The woman known as Jane Roe in the U.S. Supreme Court's 1973 landmark Roe v. Wade case that legalized abortion has now filed a motion to reopen her case. She's hoping that ruling will be set aside. Norma McCorvey is now opposed to abortion and says the ruling, quote, brought the Holocaust of abortion to America. Scott Peterson's attorney is now fighting with a lawyer for Peterson's former mistress. Mark Garagos and Gloria Allred have filed papers over a gag order in that case. Garagos says Allred violated the gag order already last week when she gave a television interview.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
It's a busy time this week for Asian foreign ministers meeting in Cambodia. Leaders attending the Association of Southeast Asian Nations Summit have called on Burma to release a pro-democracy leader. In a joint statement also, the delegates released a proposal they hope will resolve the North Korean nuclear impasse. Far East correspondent Celia Hatton has the latest.
Southeast Asian leaders meeting in Phnom Penh have called on Burma to release pro-democracy leader Aung San Suu Kyi, who has been detained since political protests were held more than 2 weeks ago. In a separate initiative, ASEAN leaders have also compiled a proposal to deal with the ongoing nuclear weapons standoff between North Korea and the United States. North Korea would receive a security guarantee from the United States, Japan, South Korea, Russia, and China in return for the elimination of its nuclear weapons program. Celia Hatton, Beijing.
Today's talks precede tomorrow's annual security gathering of the ASEAN Regional Forum. I'm Corey Morris. This is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Anti-lock brakes, seat belts, and airbags, all ounces of prevention safety that equip today's cars. But when we come back, I'll tell you where there's a pound of cure, just in case you need it.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing. For Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti, there's one more key to racing. Champion spark plugs. They race different makes of cars. Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion spark plugs.
Today's technology-equipped cars are designed to prevent accidents. But when they happen, it's technology again, this time to the rescue. 1,000 cars in upstate New York are testing automated collision notification. This system uses in-vehicle sensors to detect a crash and then employs a satellite and cellular phone system to relate the severity and location of the accident directly to 911. After receiving this information, the operator then opens a voice line and dispatches emergency assistance. Wow, that sounds like 2 pounds of cure to me. I'm Bobby Likas, brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the Peter Werbe Show, where we dare to connect the dots. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody. Jalene Jordan, welcome to you.
Thanks, Peter.
I'm overwhelmed. I've got so much stuff here today that the head is just swimming.
Well, that's good because it's your second day back, from, you know, a vacation. You had to get into the groove. You're in it.
Well, yeah. Where do we even start? You know, it's another awful day in Iraq. A sniper killed an American GI.
Right.
The American Medical Association has endorsed cloning for research. I want to talk about that in a little while.
Cloning, but not stem cell research that could actually, you know, really save some lives, right?
Well, it's a step along the way. And, I mean, I have some real questions about it, you know, and none that I can in some ways even articulate. I don't want to get back into that. Some things better left to God. But it's not, what was that old commercial like in the 70s or something? It's not nice to fool Mother Nature.
Right.
Because we've been talking a lot about genetically modified foods, right? And the potential for harm that that can bring to the environment. Well, I don't know. The people that are opposing this genetic research, I don't think do much good. Or not genetic research, cloning for research. Calling embryo cloning for research purposes medically ethical is totally inappropriate, according to, let's see, Dr. John McMahon of Helena, Montana. I remember Helena, Montana.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, this is totally inappropriate when a number of us believe that human beings start with two cells. Well, you know, I don't want people foisting their religious beliefs on science. I mean, they should just. In fact, the AMA says that they adopted this measure without debate, and they said that they would that scientists who don't believe that it's ethical would be that oppose it could refuse to perform it. So, I mean, that takes care of people's ethical and religious centering on it.
But the Raelians have to be certainly happy today.
The Raelians, those are the people. Whatever happened to their clone baby?
I don't know. It just kind of went by the wayside. They said they were respecting the parents' wishes, and they didn't want to expose the parents and the children to the world, and that they had their right to their privacy, so they never had to produce any cloned babies.
But they still insist there was one.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
or two or three or four, actually.
I know this is going to shock everybody, but the Greedy Oil Party, the GOP, has appointed a corporate sleazebag lobbyist to head its party. We'll talk about that
a
little while later.
Big shocker.
Yeah, and this one, this kind of went under, I think, everyone's radar, is that George Bush has criticized George Bush. That is, George Bush the younger has criticized George Bush the elder, but we will talk about that in a little while. That's just sort of buried in a story, and it's by implication. I mean, the kid's too dumb to realize it, I'm sure. I don't think he realized that he's talking bad about Poppy, but, we'll get into that.
Okay.
And what I got for people is, if you looked at the website, ieamericaradio.com, we have a T-shirt for people. I got a bunch of these when I was in Santa Fe. KTRC invited me out there, let me see, what was the end of May, had a wonderful time, and people loaded me down with wonderful things, everything from art objects. You should have come out.
Chilling. I know. Yeah. You really raked it in out there, Peter.
So I got four T-shirts, and all that say the same thing. And so I hope the people that gave them to me, and I've sort of lost track. Hey, KTRC folks, if you're listening and you know who gave me these, I don't want to say the wrong name, give us a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. Anyways, they're nice. One's black, one's gray, one's white. And they say, true patriots oppose Bush.
Right? Ah, yeah.
So I'm going to give away one to, let's give it to first-time callers.
Right? Yeah, who've never called the program before.
Yeah, and you can do this. You can say, sometimes people say, well, you know, we get that all the time. Sorry, I've never called, but I just can't think of anything to say, you know, right away. You can call up at 1-800-TALK-YES and tell us how you found out about the show.
Sure.
Yeah.
I learned about it.
Right? Or you can call up with an opinion. At 1-800-TALK-YES. But the first call, I think they're all larges. I think they're almost all larges these days, aren't they? Or large or extra large?
Well, except for fashion, and girls are wearing T-shirts the size of, you know, that should be fitting five-year-olds.
Really?
Yes.
Where am I?
Oh, Peter.
You're in Miami. I'm in Detroit.
Oh, I'm telling you, it's everywhere down here. There's no shame in Miami.
All right, next winter. I'm certainly not coming down there in the summer. I'm a fair-weather friend, Jalene Jordan. I'm in Detroit, Michigan, where the snow flies starting sometimes in October. And Jalene is where the sun shines perpetually.
Yes, it does.
Miami. All right. I mentioned this, Jalene, the other day. And, in fact, it was yesterday. It was the only day it could have been. Many believe Iraq had and used weapons of mass destruction. This is from your paper, the Miami Herald.
Yes.
And you can go, well, what are we going to do now? Now we've got like four people calling. Just if you can, just put
each. You're doing one an hour, right?
One an hour, yeah. So, you know, if you're on hold and you weren't the first, just come on the air anyways. All right. I read this yesterday, but I think there's some interesting aspects to it. A third of the American public believes U.S. forces found weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
Unbelievable. I read this in the paper.
And 22% said Iraq actually used chemicals, chemical or biological weapons during the U.S. illegal, unnecessary invasion and occupation of Iraq.
Duh,
yeah. Before the war, half of those polled in a survey said Iraqis were among the 19 hijackers on September 11th.
Yeah.
I mean, could we, Shara, invite people to come on the air, even if, they're not the winner. So, anyways, actually, that threw me completely. Oh, yeah, 19 hijackers.
Right, that people still think this.
Could Americans be that dumb?
Well, you know, and it's funny, when I was reading this, I got a call from a listener last week, and I went through you know, all the different quotations from Rumsfeld and Powell regarding Iraq, right?
Mm-hmm.
The lead up and all of the reasons. And this caller said, you know what, Jalene, all you could have done is say, hey, this is a great article, here's the link, and you could have moved on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said to this caller that we have new listeners every day. We have people who don't get it like you get it. And so we have to make sure that we're going to that very basic, argument.
Sure.
Down to the basic facts, and that we repeat this constantly because there are so many people who don't know. This just proves it.
Yeah, I think so. And one of the things is that's the unfortunate aspect of both radio and television is that it always has to be, to some extent, at 101.
Yeah,
and that's
it's
why
the kids method. Keep it simple, stupid.
Right?
I learned that in journalism
school. And that's why it's so important to read. That's where you get the extra oomph. Yeah. So anyways,
absolutely.
A third of the American people believe U.S. forces found weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and 22% believe they actually used them, as well as half of people polled in a survey before the war said that the Iraqis were among the 19 hijackers.
Yeah.
And according to the Miami Herald, such weapons have not been found in Iraq and were never used. Most of the September 11th hijackers were from Saudi Arabia. None were Iraqis.
Pretty disappointing to read that, but I'm not surprising. You're not surprised, are you?
Yeah, actually I am. Pollsters and political analysts see several reasons for the gaps between facts and belief. The public's short attention span on foreign news, fragmentary or conflicting media reports that lack depth or skepticism, that's sure true, and White House efforts to sell war by oversimplifying the threat. They don't list lying in here, do they?
Yeah. Of course not.
Now, before the war, the U.S. media often reported as fact the assertions by the Bush administration that Iraq possessed large stockpiles of illegal weapons. CBS News in December reported how Bush officials were, quote, threatening war against Iraq and its weapons of mass destruction. And even papers like the New York Times said, we believe, and I mean it was using that kind of pronoun, that Iraq has weapons of mass destruction. Now, here is, you know, this doesn't really get to the root of the matter. There was an enormous anti-war movement that said no to an illegal and unnecessary war against Iraq because Iraq had no weapons of mass destruction. Threatened absolutely no one whatsoever. Why wasn't this reported? Given the fact that there was tens of millions of people involved, given the fact that there were demonstrations, rallies, theater presentations, and 100 other different expressions of anti-war sentiment, why didn't the major media put every time Bush and his pals put forth some lie about weapons of mass destruction, why didn't they say in the second paragraph, anti-war movement spokespeople denied this is the case and said this is just a fact of, we lost our winner there, too. It's Jody of Santa Fe. Jody, call back. You won the T-shirt that says True Patriots Oppose Bush. So that's where the real culpability lies in the American people being fooled to the extent that they are. Are they dumber than Brits? Are they dumber than Russians? Are they dumber than Italians? And I know a lot of you out there saying, yeah, American people are really dumb. The way people get undumb is to have access to information. And we're going to talk with Norman Solomon, correct, at the bottom of this hour?
Yes.
And he was just in England. He's going to talk a little about the kind of information that is available to the average British citizen. And remember, they were our Bush's allies. And let's see, what it says, the reasons are gaps between facts and beliefs, the public's short attention span on foreign news. The Brits aren't any better. They've got a diverse media. We have a medium, the single voice of power. They are
the same lies that we had.
They are, well, yes and no. I mean, they had that
the
available.
The dossier, right?
They could go, oh, you're saying the British government put up the same lies.
Sure.
Yeah. But they also had The Sun, a Rupert Murdoch paper. They had the Times of London. They had, I kind of think, so they had pro-war papers.
Sure.
Yeah.
But they actually have big papers that tell the truth.
Yeah, they have the Mirror, the Observer, publications like that.
Yeah.
So, but here's what, let's see, Christopher from Tampa writes in to calltalkyes@yahoo.com. I just refuse to believe that Americans are so stupid that these polls reflect reality. Granted, with the likes of Fox News pumping out propaganda for the White House, it is easy to be misled, but we are a questioning people. I guess that leads me to two questions. What is the exact wording of these questions? And where are these polls taken? Are these things a secret? And if so, why? Well, I don't know. I guess, and here's the question I'm going to put out to people. And Jody from Santa Fe is back, who won our T-shirt for today. We'll have two more, one for the next succeeding hours. But when you are talking to people, do they come up with these nutsy things like that, like Saddam Hussein used weapons of mass destruction and that the U.S. has already found them? But quickly, let's get to Jody. Jody, hi. It's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. You've got a nice Santa Fe T-shirt. I got it in Santa Fe, brought it back here to Detroit, and then we're going to mail it back to you. Hey, Jody.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Hi, I actually met you in Santa Fe and told you that I never called, but now I'm calling.
Just because this is pure greed, though. You were bribed.
Right. Well, a T-shirt's involved. So I'm in the car on my way to the airport to go to New York City right now.
Wow.
Ooh.
And I have a feeling it's going to be a little frustrating with certain people when I don't really want to bring up politics. I'm a little bit afraid.
This is your family?
Yes.
You know what you could do sometimes?
I don't blame you. Just talk about birds. That's what I do.
I'm going to talk about the weather and the kids and,
you know what?
You know.
You know what's interesting, Jody? And it's kind of hard to do, particularly like if it's parents, because those old, you know, family things.
Actually, they're Democrats, but, you know, they have, like, issues. And.
You know. Well, just see. You know, sometimes you can say, you know, what do people think about the occupation now and how it's going? And if they start saying, like, stuff you don't agree with, you don't necessarily have to say anything. You know, you just kind of see where other people are at because you don't want to start a big family row. All right. Does Shar have your address?
Yes.
Okay, Jody, our segment's at an end. Enjoy yourself. Hope you don't have one of those typical bumpy Albuquerque takeoffs.
Woo!
It'll be okay. And I love meeting you in Santa Fe.
Thank you, Jody.
Okay, bye.
Right, we'll be right back. All right. More on the American people and what they believe. Peter Werby Show, Jalene Jordan is with me. 1-800-TALK-YES. Give us a call.
9 drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll-free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into Tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Tired of talk radio sounding like a propaganda arm of the Republican Party? Well, so am I. This is Peter Werby, and I've moved my program to 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time weekdays. Join me as I expose the Grand Oil Party's plans to pay off their corporate paymasters by making this country a permanent warfare state while destroying the environment and attacking the rights of women and working people in the process. So tune by the show, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and join me, Peter Werby, as we make plans to take back our country.
Malloy is rational and,
it,
you know, I mean, whatever.
You want
it's
me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Take responsibility, they can run and hide. Pissed us off, so we voted for Republicans, a form of suicide.
Republicans suck!
Show 1-800-TALK-YES 1-800-825-5937.
What? Is that Neil Young?
No, I forgot who it is. Republicans suck. Suck, suck, suck. Not what you wrote me, Jolene.
Okay, good.
This is a family show.
Well, I thought maybe something got in there.
No, I hope not.
I hope not either.
All right. And one of the things, though, I want to tell you, on the Peter Werby Show, we always go for the subtle. You know.
Oh, always.
Yeah, always. Well, that announces that little segment there. In fact, if somebody, and I'm sorry to, if you're listening and you sent me that, and I can't remember which band this is, I'm really terrible at that. So get a hold of me again. Calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Let's see. Public Citizen condemns appointment of corporate lobbyists as Republican Party chief. Now, what's happened, the Republicans have appointed Ed Gillespie. He's a leading corporate lobbyist. And what they say, he's opened a conduit for corporate America to strengthen its already formidable influence in the White House and Congress. Now, it's called Quinn Gillespie and Associates, and it's grown from into one of the Capitol's most lucrative lobbying efforts because of its strong ties to the Bush administration. Now, here's what's going on. The Public Citizen has released this analysis of Quinn Gillespie, that's the firm, its efforts on behalf of a slew of corporate clients on legislation to undercut consumer rights and increase the power of big business. Get this, Gillespie and former Clinton White House counsel Jack Quinn in 2000, since its founding in 2000, the firm has reported $27.4 million in lobbying-related income through last year.
Whoa.
And Gillespie has worked to keep national energy policy in lockstep with the wishes of Enron. Remember Enron, folks? Enron was one of the many reasons that the unnecessary illegal war against Iraq was fought. So we would not think about Enron. So we didn't have Enron Gate emblazoned in our memory as we should. Now, Quinn Gillespie earned $700,000 from Enron in 2001 alone to lobby the White House on the electricity crisis on the West Coast, like they needed lobbying, right?
Yeah.
The administration aggressively supported Enron's position against re-regulating electricity markets. Gillespie also channeled money from Daimler Chrysler and Enron to his 21st Energy Project, and which bought print and television ads in 2001 to promote the administration's energy plans, including blocking any increase in fuel economy standards. So this is, who now is the head of the Republican Party, and I think that's pretty apt. Now, another thing that they've successfully presided over, this again is Ed Gillespie, who is the leading corporate lobbyist. And, you know, one of the things is it's more honest, just like how soon we forget? What's his name? The senator from Mississippi, Trent Lott. Trent Lott should be head of the Democrats, or the Republicans, rather, the Republicans in Congress, because he's perfect for the Senate. You know, he's a perfect representative of the mindset of Republicans. Also, PricewaterhouseCoopers, Quinn Gillespie, $1.35 million from 2000 to 2002 to lobby against increased oversight of the accounting industry.
He's being rewarded.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just their whole reward system on the right.
PricewaterhouseCoopers paid a $5 million fine to the Securities and Exchange Commission in 2002 for repeated accounting irregularities. This is who the new head of the Republican Party is trying to protect.
And are you proud Republican?
Yeah, yeah. Republicans suck. Suck, suck, suck. We had to play that all the time.
Once an hour?
Yes. Now, who's coming up next, Jalene Jordan?
Jim Hightower.
Jim Hightower. Shar, who are we going to have on after the break? Jim Hightower, right.
Then we'll have Norman Solomon.
That's right. He just came back from England, and we'll talk about the kind of papers they have over there. 1-800-TALK-YES. That's our phone number.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You're kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. With less than 2 weeks to go before a contract covering 650 employees expires, managers of the Baltimore Sun are hedging their bets against a strike. The Sun is seeking replacement workers from other newspapers in the vast Tribune Company. Strikebreakers are being offered normal pay plus the salaries of those they're replacing, along with a daily stipend and room and board expenses. The Sun has also offered a $1,000 signing bonus to employees should they accept the paper's current proposal, a contract that union negotiators with the Baltimore-Washington Newspaper Guild say falls far short of the union's demand for $6 annual raises and greater job security.
Workers in the UK will be better protected from workplace stress thanks to a new probationary government code that went into effect yesterday. The code requires all employers to identify and study stress factors on the job classified under six different categories. They must then implement plans to reduce the stressors, and if a majority of workers don't feel the company has successfully lessened workplace stress, they or the government can sue for damages. For the time being, the code is in a testing phase with mandatory implementation expected next year.
A protest over sweatshop conditions in Cambodia's clothing factories turned deadly last weekend. Garment workers in Phnom Penh's textile district had been demanding higher wages and the reinstatement of a fired union supporter when riot police opened fire with Kalashnikov rifles, killing one and injuring 16 others. According to the National Labor Committee, Cambodia's 200,000 garment workers are mostly young women who work up to 80 hours per week for as little as $35 a month. They produce clothing sold at such U.S. retail chain stores as Banana Republic, Nike, Adidas, Old Navy, and The Gap.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Debating on the hills of all your crazy antics, we'll all have had our fill. We'll be closing down munitions plants, and Old Glory will be furled. 'Cause we don't want your big machines, we just want the world.
The Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. And David Rovics, R-O-V-I-C-S. Go to davidrovics.com. In fact, he's got a bunch of brand new music out, and you can download it for free on his site. We want the world, indeed. Yeah, that's what Jim Morrison's saying. We want the world, and we want it now. And we don't want it for greedy purposes. We don't want the world to destroy the world. We don't want the world to starve people. We don't want the world to continue wars. We want the opposite of all that. We want to fire the men that are in charge now, the ruling elite, because they have screwed everything up, haven't they? All right, let's go to Jim Hightower right now on the Peter Werbe Show. Jim Hightower is America's favorite populist, and after that, Norman Solomon, just back from England. We'll talk about newspapers and what that does to how you perceive the world. Here's Jim Hightower.
The Bushites have hoisted themselves on their own political petard, and ouch, that can hurt. The petard in question is George's famous campaign slogan, promising that he would leave no child behind. That's a sweet thought, but it recently smashed up against the rock-hard right-wing ideology of plutocracy, that is the governing ethic of this bunch, an ethic that basically preaches, leave no millionaire behind, and everyone else take the hindmost. At issue was George W.'s $350 billion tax giveaway to the wealthiest of the wealthy, the least needy families in America. The millionaire class will enjoy an average of about $93,000 a year from Uncle Sugar in this giveaway. There's even a special Hummer deduction tucked into the bill, sort of like a prize in a box of Cracker Jacks. It gives a tax deduction of up to $100,000 to business owners who buy a vehicle weighing at least 6,000 pounds. To provide a political sham for this rip-off by the rich, the Bushites tossed in a $400 per child increase in the child tax credit, allowing George to proclaim with a straight face that his plutocratic boondoggle will, quote, reduce tax rates for everyone who pays income taxes. But oops, he lied. Nearly 12 million children live in low-income working families that do pay income tax, but were simply excluded from George's $400 tax credit. That's one in every six children that he left behind, including, ironically, the children of some 200,000 men and women of the military. Yet, when confronted with this, Tom DeLay, the Bushites' chief operative in the House, waved his hand dismissively and barked, "There are a lot of things more important than that." This is Jim Hightower saying, "Yeah, Tom, things like integrity, fairness, and honesty. There you have their compassionate conservatism. $100,000 for Hummer owners, and not even $400 for the children of poor working families."
As Jim Hightower, a regular feature at this time on the Peter Werbe Show, you want more from America's favorite populist? Go to jimhightower.com. Let's join Norman Solomon. Norman Solomon is the executive director of the Institute for Public Accuracy. He's co-author of the book, Target Iraq, What the News Media Didn't Tell You. Hi, Norman.
Hi, Peter. I was just hearing you speak a couple minutes ago. I don't think you've got much of a future working at the White House. I don't even know about network radio at this rate.
Well, we'll see. Hey, Norman, you just came back from a conference in London at the Royal Institution of Great Britain called Communicating the War on Terror. And I was reading your address there, Trust, War, and Terrorism. I don't know if – I'm sure I don't say – I'll rephrase the question. I was going to say I don't know if you've seen. I will – rephrase that to say, you've seen this poll that says that a third of the American public believes U.S. forces have found weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and 22% actually think that Iraq used chemical and biological weapons?
Yeah, I don't know what the data is on, flying saucers having taken up residence, in the Washington Monument, but it is fantasy world, and you've got to wonder, we have this great communication system, how come we're communicating so much disinformation?
Well, that is the question. In fact, one of the things that I raised and been getting a lot of email from our listeners at talkyes@yahoo.com, I said, I don't think the American people are inherently or innately more stupid. It's just what kind of access they have to information. And this article that I'm reading from in the Miami Herald says things like the public's short attention span on foreign news. Well, maybe you could speak a little to what you saw and what kind of newspapers and what kind of healthy debate they have in England.
Well, the political climate there is much more skeptical. I flew from San Francisco to London at the start of this month, and it was quite a strong contrast. Here, there's talk about how Bush has political problems over having, we would say, evidently lied about these weapons of mass destruction claims before the war started. In Britain, they were talking not about how Blair was having some troubles, but how he was really up against the wall. And so the whole tone, from commentators, journalists, politicians was much more ratcheted up. It was as though in Britain, actually, people don't necessarily accept being lied to.
Well, what do you think about this? Maybe what we can do is get these comments off of the email and use these as talking points. John from St. Louis writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Americans are definitely dumber than Euros. Poll Americans as to what they believe the true nature, the purpose of this war, in quotes, on Iraq, and you'll simply get fourth grade responses or blank stares. Americans would rather play Nintendo than think about critical issues. I'm sorry to have to report.
Well, we aren't taught too much. I mean, we don't learn to, you know, what you learn if you watch TV is to go out and buy things and just fantasy world. So, I mean, not to let people off the hook. You know, we have challenges and responsibilities. We got to think for ourselves. But we are, you know, like George Orwell said, sloppy language doesn't make us stupid, but it makes it easier for us to be stupid.
Sure. And I talk about the people the people magazinization of discourse.
Yeah, that's good.
And so, you know, to try to get somebody to look at something like The Nation or the New York Review of Books or The Progressive in these times, and people are going, whoa, there are no graphics on that page. I don't think I can deal with it.
It's also interesting, you mentioned People Magazine. I like that noun or whatever that was.
Yeah.
That's tough, but the way you said it was good. I think it evokes a lot. And more to the point, when people says people on the cover, they don't mean like people in the, you know, the aggregate. It's like individual people. And I think that's a huge thing. I mean, I'm all for individuality, but under the pretext of pursuing that, it's all this look up to the rich and famous, which is not about people. It's not about humanity, human beings, etc. It's about the glitz and the glitter, a whole different thing.
You know, there's these friends of mine are in a band called The Layabouts, and as you can imagine, they rarely play. And three of them are from England. And they have a song that's called Do They Care About You? And that's what they're saying. Do they care about you? Do they know what you wear? Do they know what you think? So in other words, the vectors go one way, and we're always like peasants, or supposed to, at least from the worldview of People Magazine, look up to the rich and famous and great.
Well, you're raising a key question. I mean, it makes me, just for an example, very angry and sometimes frustrated that people who listen, say, to NPR, National Pentagon Radio, they will hear commentaries from Daniel Shore. But I would rather, frankly, there be commentaries from you, because a few minutes ago you were laying down a perspective that is much more realistic. So here you've got an albeit liberal commentator on NPR who basically is filling people's heads with this kind of false parallel universe in which there's something called democracy and these greedy folks are not really manipulating the way they truly are.
Mm-hmm. National Pentagon Radio. Did you steal that from me or did I steal that from you?
I forget. You know, we're in a collective here.
And the People Magazineization, you can steal that one. Or you know, what it really is, too. Actually, People Magazine reflects that. It's the televisionization of all discourse. It's these short, unrelated factoids. And that's pretty much why we say immodestly here, you know, the program that dares to connect the dots. In fact, usually the dots are all there on the front page of the New York Times. It's just and given how much dis and misinformation they report, and still it's all there. All you have to do is have a larger perspective on the world, and you say, boy, it's all just a self-exposure.
I think that's right, and yet the ideological frame and the spinning is such, it's to confuse and divert people. You know, Paul Krassner, the satirist, came up with the term disinfotainment.
That's great. I'd steal that one.
That is good.
In a second. Wait a minute, say that.
Disinfotainment on TV.
Disinfotainment. Boy, I like that one. But, Norman, you haven't yet told us about the papers in general. Tell us, actually, you know, name some of the names and who reads them and what kind of impact they have on the political debates in London where you just were.
Yeah, on the newsstands, you've got 10 or 11 daily national papers in Britain. And some of them actually are willing to go where the dailies in the U.S. dare not go, The Guardian and The Independent, two dailies that just are a whole different thing. They actually talk about power not in euphemisms. They confront war. They confront the sort of corporatization of consciousness. And I don't say they're perfect papers. I don't always agree. But they're just worlds apart from the kind of trough-filling swill that we get in our dailies here. The Sunday Observer as well, even though they, as some readers of my column pointed out to me from Britain, they were pro-war, but their reporting really was tough about the war in Iraq, and I group all those three papers as quite progressive.
Now, you didn't mention, or did you? You didn't mention the Mirror, did you?
You know, I should have, because it's a tabloid on the surface, and yet the reporting they did by John Pilger in particular was very tough anti-war stuff, and I understand they lost quite a few percentage of their circulation.
Really?
People were just really upset. Some people were, and yet I think many were appreciative.
Well, yeah, and the Mirror of London, is it the Mirror? The Daily Mirror, right, actually.
Right.
They actually were some of the, they were signed on as the name organization sponsors of these enormous million-person anti-war rallies that were held in London. This is, here's a good question for you. By the way, I'll reintroduce you. Norman Solomon, the syndicated columnist, is my guest and also the executive director of the Institute for Public Accuracy. You can always see their releases at accuracy.org. We being you and I and many other people in the anti-war movement and the peace and social justice movement, were very critical of Clear Channel for sponsoring these pro-war rallies, yet I was very appreciative of the Mirror for sponsoring an anti-war rally. Is there a contradiction there?
Well, I think part of it is about the airwaves and about power. Clear Channel has 1,200 radio stations across the country. They're using the public airwaves, and they're also very cozy with the Bush administration and Bush officials, and that goes back quite a ways in terms of the George and George W. Bush families. So, but there is a value judgment that we make, too, that human rights are better than slaughter, that war is not as good as peace, and we bring that to the table, too.
Yeah, I think also if there were some, you know, human-sized networks like the IE America radio network or something like that, and
yeah,
with just a few family, you know, a relatively human-scale-sized family of stations, and you had a bunch of them, some were having pro-war, some were having anti-war, you know, it was part of this whole diverse discourse of the issues about why we should go to war. Well, no, but when you have this enormous monopoly that controls everything from concert venues and performers and what music's being played on 1,200 stations and what talk show hosts, well, then we're talking Pravda. We're talking Asvestia.
That's a key point, because it's not that we would want to shut down hearing the Daniel Shores and the Rush Limbaughs and all the rest of them. It's that they're so dominant, and that kind of voice is so mono-dominant that we're not getting discourse. It's like a body politic where there's no circulation in the bloodstream.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was thinking more about the Daily Mirror, which was staunchly anti-war, and you're right, John Pilger, his dispatches were amazing, and I assume they're probably going to be collected in some form sooner or later. But and their covers. Let me see if I can remember. I think it is mirror.co.uk. In fact, I'm positive it's mirror.co.uk, because I used to put a lot of their covers on my website at peterwerby.com. And they were astounding how partisan they were in terms of being anti-war. And I have no problem with that. I mean, I think objectivity is usually a disguise, a mask for mainstream and power-mongering reporting.
Every day the front page of U.S. dailies, whether it's the Detroit News or the New York Times or whatever, they are propaganda outlets from the top of the front page downward. I'm looking at a picture of the Mirror front page. It says in huge type, "This war is a fraud."
Mm-hmm.
Were truer words ever spoken?
Yeah, and in some ways, you know, engaged journalism, which I've always been involved in, even when I've done print medium, it's pretty easy. When you see a newspaper that says this war is a fraud, you know exactly where these people are coming from. But when you have this facade of objectivity, and we give all sides of it. You know, when ABC, every once in a while, they'll have one of these self-critical, these programs where they have all this self-critical look at themselves, and are we doing our job,
right,
and all that. I could puke.
It's like, it's the Mark Twain. It's easy to quit smoking. I've done it thousands of times.
That's right. One thing people should know about the Mirror, though, if you go to that, you'll have something like that, "This war is a fraud," and then you'll open it up, and there's Princess So-and-so gardening naked.
Yes, the tabloids are something else that way. And, of course, Murdoch, the great, moralistic right-winger, runs Fox News, which with a lot of kind of prurient junk, and then also exploitive bare-breasted women on page three of his tabloids in London.
Norman Solomon, we just have 60 seconds, so I don't, it's not enough time to tell us about this conference in London that you were at, Communicating the War on Terror. What?
Well, I really tried to address the ways in which Bush and Blair are terrorists, and this is not easy for people to hear. I didn't just jump in and say that, but I talked about how, for instance, when you drop these cluster bombs and they continue to explode in the hands of little children, those cluster bombs were not just instruments of terrorism. They are instruments of terrorism as we speak. So what's the high moral ground for the U.S. and Britain?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, as usual, for being with us. And let's see if people want to read your talk there. Is it at fair.org?
It's posted at commondreams.org about 10 days ago under Friday.
Oh, okay, good. We can look at that. And you can always go to fair.org and pick up Norman Solomon's columns. Thank you so much, as usual, Norman, for being with us.
Hey, thank you, Peter.
All right, bye now. All right, we are going to take a break, and then we'll be back. If you're on hold, we will get you. And if you want to call in the meantime, it's 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Emails come to calltalkyes@yahoo.com. And, here's who sang Republicans Suck. Maybe we played that song before. Republicans suck, 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 suck. You can download it for free at Elroy.net/songs. Elroy.net/songs. I'm Peter Werby. I'll be right back with you.
James Carville here again. By now, you know InPhone is great for phone numbers, driving directions, movie times, but it does a whole lot more. When you call InPhone, it costs just 89 cents for the first 15 minutes. Every minute after that is just 5 cents. Pretty good, huh? So, I ask you, is InPhone enhanced directory assistance, or is it super cheap long distance with a personal operator? 888-411-1111. InPhone. How can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Show. We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man, or people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
He is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected. Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
you know, it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
So a new man in the White House with a familiar name said he had some fresh ideas, but Bush now says he came from Texas to Washington.
Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Here's Jalene Jordan with us as well. That's brand new from John Cougar Mellencamp. I guess just John Mellencamp now, right?
He dropped the Cougar.
Yeah, he first was John Cougar. And then he was John Cougar Mellencamp, and now just John Mellencamp.
Hey, listen, we all change, right?
The CD just released, Trouble No More, that's called To Washington, and it's available online. If you go to buzzflash.com, that site that always starts producing waves of anxiety in me whenever I look at it, because it is more things going on there than even mine, right?
Yeah. Last we looked, it was in the right-hand column, the far right-hand column, second one down.
Yeah. So we'll be playing that as the week goes on. We'll play different shots from it for you. Now, one of the things we've been addressing here, and we just spoke with Norman Solomon about why are people in this country seem to be so different. If you're for peace and social justice, it's easy to look, for instance, at these folks of which almost a third of the American population believe that U.S. forces have already found weapons of mass destruction, and 22% said Iraq actually used chemical or biological weapons in this invasion by the U.S. They also believe at least half of those that the Iraqis were among the 19 hijackers on September 11th. So, let me see. This is from Little Bear. Little Bear writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. I think most people are locked into wage slavery and have to look for work to make ends meet. Many average folks don't have the time or energy to put all this mess under a microscope. I think people are also scared to see what is really there. People are being bombarded with fear-mongering by the lies the mass media put out for the Bushites.
Yeah, it's true.
I agree. But it is, we have to keep emphasizing that a good part of it is that the information is not easily available the way it is in other countries. Real quickly, we got to get to Lillian. Oh, Lillian, you're going to have to hold on because here comes our music right at the end.
About 20 seconds. That's not long enough.
Yeah, no, I know. And she was waiting so patiently as well. So we'll be back. There's a lot more to talk about. The economy, well, if you're a working person, it's still hitting the skids. If you're one of those big corporate execs or if you're one of those big stockholders, things are looking up. So are we beginning to have a little snapshot of what Guatemala looks like here in the United States? Unfortunately, it may be the case. And we never got to GW actually criticizing Poppy. But, of course, he's too dumb to have realized it. We'll be right back. Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan, we're at 1-800-TALK-YES.
You've been
been listening to The Peter Wuerbee Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Peter Wuerbee Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Wuerbee Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Erica Kane. A U.S. soldier has been shot and killed by a sniper in Baghdad. The soldier was with the 1st Armored Division. Following the attack, dozens of coalition troops swept through the city, sealing off roads and searching houses. Soldiers continue searching for Ba'ath Party loyalists and supporters of Saddam Hussein. A new report says more than a year before the war in Iraq, the CIA began a serious effort to establish a number of Iraqi spies. Quoting unnamed sources, USA Today says the intelligence network had trouble keeping its agents alive when Saddam Hussein was in power. Some Democrats believe President Bush may be vulnerable in the 2004 election due to an unlikely factor, his treatment of the military. The president is held in high esteem by many in uniform because of successful campaigns in Afghanistan and Iraq. But the Washington Post reports a new study by Democratic staff on the House Appropriations Committee shows Bush administration cuts to a program for public schools serving military bases would disproportionately slash education funding for the children of soldiers who fought in Iraq. It also finds the new tax cut signed by President Bush fails to extend the child tax credit to almost 200,000 low-income military families. A new survey by staffing firm Manpower Incorporated shows that U.S. employers are exercising caution in their hiring intentions for the third quarter. The firm's quarterly survey shows while the 16,000 employers polled anticipate some job opportunities during the July through September period, their hiring forecast has actually dropped since the second quarter and is now lower than it was at this time last year. More news in a moment.
They left their farms and factories, their offices and classrooms. 16 million Americans in uniform. 400,000 gave their lives for freedom. For the first time, young women eagerly entered the workforce to supply the arsenal the world depended on for victory. But this was no faceless mass that went to war. They were my relatives and yours, our fathers and mothers, our grandparents and next-door neighbors. They were our family's heroes. And yet, unbelievably, there's no national monument anywhere to honor the amazing generation that won World War II. I'm Tom Hanks. Please help build the National World War II Memorial on the Mall in Washington, D.C. Call 1-800-639-4WW2. That's 1-800-639-4992. It's time to say thank you.
A public service message from the American Battle Monuments Commission, the Ad Council, and this station.
A new Labor Department report indicates that underlying inflation rose at its fastest rate in some 9 months during the month of May. The Labor Department said the rise was attributed to a jump in both the cost of housing and lodging. The so-called Core Consumer Price Index, the widely used gauge of inflation in the U.S. that strips out volatile food and energy prices, advanced by 3/10 of 1%. More news after this.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, yes it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Thousands of copies of the new Harry Potter book have been stolen from a depot in northwestern England. The haul of the long-awaited issues of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix is thought to be worth $1.68 million.
It's the most anticipated book in the history of publishing. J.K. Rowling's fifth installment of The Magical Adventures of Harry Potter will be released in stores around the world at midnight on June 21st. In Britain, many shops plan to open seconds after the official release time. Now thousands of copies of The Order of the Phoenix have disappeared. A man posing as a lorry driver reportedly drove off with the truckload. The vehicle was found several miles away, but there's no sign of its precious cargo. Suzanne Chislett, London.
Airline passengers will soon be able to send and receive email while flying. United Airlines is the first U.S. commercial carrier to offer Verizon Airphone Jet Connect service with two-way email on domestic flights. I'm Erica Kane, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Petri dishes, grandma's parlor, and well-used tennis shoes. All breeding grounds for yucky mold. Don't wrinkle your nose, because you've got one, too, in your car. When we come back, I'll tell you where.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish. Not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Your car's heater and air conditioner provide the perfect breeding ground for smelly mold and mildew. Here's a tip to eliminate these odors. Disconnect the AC compressor before starting your car in the morning. Set the emergency brake and crank your engine. Run your AC on max and in the recirculation mode. Then spray a small can of Lysol in the passenger's foot area behind the glove compartment. Let dry 1 hour and reconnect the compressor. Voila! A car that will smell fresher all season. Now for those tennis shoes. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much, and welcome back, everybody. Or if you're just joining the show, welcome to the broadcast. Hi, Jalene Jordan.
Hello, Peter. Great to be here again.
And we are giving our T-shirts away today. When I was in Santa Fe broadcasting on KTRC, people gave me, I was going to say us, but you weren't there, so I brought home all the swag, all the loot, right?
Yes, you did.
And including four shirts that said, True Patriots Oppose Bush, and I can only wear one. And of course, I could wear, if I have four, that's all I could wear, right?
You'd fit in at some of the rallies.
Anyways, right? I want to share the wealth. So the first caller that is a first-time caller at 1-800-TALK-YES, and you have to come on the air. You can either give an opinion on some of the subjects we're talking about, or if you prefer, you can just say how you found out about the Peter Werby Show or the IE America Radio Network. So it's a nice shirt, True Patriots Oppose Bush. That's what the prize is for first-time callers at 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And if you're not caller number one, because already people are starting to pile up, stay on the line. Give us an idea of what you're thinking about the world that we live in. And what we were talking about all last hour was that a third of the American public actually believes that U.S. forces found weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Of course, there aren't any. Bush lied about all of these. So we wonder, where in the world did people get this idea? Also, incredibly, 22% think that Iraq actually used chemical or biological weapons.
You know, they could have gotten that from 30 seconds of a G.W. Bush speech or a 10-second soundbite or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Well, now let's see here. Also, before the war, half of those polled in a survey said Iraqis were among the 19 hijackers on September 11th, which, of course, they weren't. It was all Saudis. Now, I was putting forth the proposition that Americans could not possibly be more inherently stupid or, you know, unable to discern truth, that it has to be the fact that we do not have a media, we do not have a plurality of voices, that there was no reflection of the deep anti-war sentiment that was present in this country in the mainstream corporate and conservative media. Now, here is, so I'm wondering whether you think it's true. A lot of people writing in to calltalkyes@yahoo.com and calling 1-800-TALK-YES saying that, no, Americans are dumber. Well, here's what Howard says, and he wrote into Call Talk Yes. Well, most Americans have been brought up to believe that dark people equal evil. The Bush cartel put Osama bin Laden's face up only a few hours after the planes crashed into the towers, so those types of Americans are too ignorant to differentiate between Arabs, Sikhs, Iraqis, Saudis, etc. Mm-hmm. They are dark people, enough said. It was proven that whites are responsible for September 11th, then there would be stories on TV and in magazines trying to understand why. We were told that it was Arabs on the plane, so there is no need to ask why. These people are just evil, as Bush has repeatedly told us. Well, let's go to Shelley. And Shelley's all right if I say your last name?
Yes, you can say my last name.
Okay, Shelley Drobny with Anshel Media, one of the many people out there, many forces, part of the tidal wave of liberal radio that is just about to hit these American shores. Hi, Shelley.
Hi, how you doing? I happen to be homesick today, so I was watching you or listening to you on the internet, and I got the Norman Solomon interview, and I just had to just get into your audience and tell them what's been going on with Anshel Media.
Sure.
Which is a company that you know was founded by myself and my wife, Anita. And, you know, we all know the problems of the news media and what the people who are really dumbed down, not because it's their fault, but because of the fact they only have a few sources of information and are too lazy to look things up because there's no incentive for them to do that. But the propaganda model has worked very well for the Bush administration since they control the mainstream media in many senses because of their power structure. But I want to give hope to people and want to let everybody know that we are accumulating not only support in terms of liberal voices, Al Franken being one of them. Did you see the O'Reilly Al Franken book thing on C-SPAN?
I actually have read quite a bit about it, but no, I haven't seen it.
I mean, if you got to see that, you would really, you'd have a laugh about the book that Al Franken's writing is called Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, A Fair and Balanced View of the Right.
Well, there you go, Al Franken.
And he's going to be one of our three-hour-a-day lead guys, and also, we've amassed quite a bit of support financially. My wife, Anita, had a presentation. I'd like to give her a little bit of a pitch on this. She was at Take Back America conference 2 weeks ago in D.C. Did you hear about it?
Sure. We
did.
Yeah,
we promoted it, right?
Actually, the network, the IE America Network, we ran spots for it gratis.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was a presentation I want to guide people to, which is, by the way, it's the most watched video on C-SPAN.org.
Is that right?
Yeah. If you go to C-SPAN.org, under the right column, the most watched video, it says Take Back America Progressive Conference, and the only thing they really videotape is the what to do about the right-wing radio. And if you want to get some hope for your listeners, go to minute 44, and you will see Anita's presentation. And, you know, we have to be patient. I got to tell you something. I'm as frustrated as you guys are about what's been going on, but we are really amassing a great deal of money, and we are amassing a great deal of support. There are a lot of people out there that are getting it, and they now realize that we have to put our money behind an organization like Anshel. And this is not for commercial reasons, because in order to compete with the big guys, we have to amass money like unions do to combat labor in strikes. So they have all the resources and power. But we at Anshel are going to put together quite a network that is going to be on the air probably by the end of the year, maybe sooner, and may include syndications of guys like you. You know, Peter, I think you're a pretty talented guy, but on IE America Radio, you're not getting out there.
Yeah.
So I want to give people hope. And, you know, that's the most important thing, because really we're not such a dumbed-down population on our own. We're dumbed down because of what the media is doing and what they have to do to stay in the power stream. So please let everybody know this. I just think that it's important for people to have hope. We're out there. And I got to tell you something. I've been throughout the country, and we have some very engaged people who really want to do something at last.
Well, Shelley Drobny, that's wonderful news. And I've been saying, partly it's a gut feeling, partly it's from what I hear around the industry. It's just a wave, maybe even a tidal wave, just getting ready to break. And to you and to Anita Drobny, we certainly aren't competitors. We wish you the best in, you know, that, because this isn't about business. This isn't about, just popularity. It's about bringing debate, bringing real democracy to this country. So to your certain to be congratulated.
Yeah, and I think, I'm in the financial world and spent 35 years, putting together businesses. But this one is one not for profit, although it is for profit. I'm not doing this to make money. We're doing this to make a change. And we do have, as I said, a lot of support, and there is a wide open audience. It's a complete myth that there isn't a liberal audience out there. There is.
I agree. I just wanted to thank you so much, both for your efforts and for joining us and giving this this update. And
okay, again, go to cspan.org, the most watched video, Take Back America, minute 44. Your audience will love it. They'll have a wonderful time watching that.
Thank you, Shelley Drobny.
Bye bye.
Bye now. Wow, that is just another piece of the puzzle, isn't it, Jillian?
Oh, yeah.
Here's Chris Wolfe from Abiquiu, New Mexico, another talk show veteran. You got your resume ready there, Chris?
Well, it's just about to send it off. Just as an aside, I happen to think that IE Radio America and the Peter Werby Show are making a difference, more of a difference than anybody else at this point in time anyway.
Well, I do agree with that. But, in fact, I just wrote Jillian earlier this morning that if there was 100 people listening only, I'd be doing the same kind of show. But hopefully we're at least up into the six figures. But what we really need to be is up in the seven figures, to be sure. And the only reason we're not is we're being held back, because literally there is a vast right-wing conspiracy to keep only the sound of the right hand clapping on AM radio and on the television. And but, you know, they can't stop an idea whose time has come, and it's our turn to play.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm wearing my new T-shirt. It says on the front, Clinton lied about a girl on the side, Bush lied, and thousands died.
Whoa.
Oh, man.
On the back, it says, and they're still dying, impeach Bush now. I love this shirt.
That's great.
Well, you know what?
I would need one of those.
Can you do that? I mean, I'm too slow, actually, to remember that, even though it was a nice little rhyme there. Because what I have on my website at peterwerby.com, that's PETERWERBE.com, I just have the penalty, the Bush lied, the penalty should be impeachment. When Clinton lied, nobody died. But I'm going to put that whole thing on there.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Fine with me.
All right.
You guys have a good day.
Thank you.
You too, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. And here's Rich from Champaign, Illinois. He won the T-shirt this hour that says,
woo-hoo!
True Patriots Oppose Bush. And we'll be sending it off to you, Rich, down there in Champaign, Illinois. How are you today?
Good. How are you, Peter?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Are you just doing the obligatory coming on because we...
How'd you find us?
There you go.
Well, I've only been listening for about a week and a half here. I got hired for a pretty mindless job over the summer, so I'm just trying to kill time, and I was really shocked to see a liberal radio station on the Internet, so... Well, I know you're not just on the Internet, but we certainly won't get you in Chicago, that's for sure.
Well, no, don't say that, because that's coming, and it's coming soon, and Shelley Drobny, who was just on from Anshel Media, that's where their home base is, and that's where they have a lot of connections. So, you know, I think we're going to go from a few stations to suddenly dozens and then hundreds, maybe. I mean, when you start combining all of our hosts on the IE America Radio Network, I can just feel it in my bones.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, I'll tell you, there was a time ago that I thought maybe this is all hopeless. Maybe we're going to be perpetually blocked by the conservatives and the corporate execs. But I think it's coming. So thank you, Rick, and we will send out your T-shirt.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks all for all the truth. Bye.
Sure, bye.
Hey, Peter.
Yeah.
I've got an email from Lisa, listener in Columbia, Missouri. And we were talking about John Cougar Mellencamp, John Mellencamp. Lisa says, here's a note, John Mellencamp was even more originally billed as Johnny Cougar, even before he was John Cougar, thanks to his first record manager, Tony DeFreeze. Johnny wasn't too happy about the name, though. Wasn't until American Hero that John had enough clout to add his surname to his stage name.
Yeah, that's good. Let's go to Lillian in Anniston, Alabama. Oh, man, I can't believe it. I just...
You did not hang up on her.
She has been waiting so long.
Peter.
Oh, all right. Lillian, I'm sorry. Call us back. I didn't mean to do that. We were talking about our bumpers, this music that comes back, and we were talking about War Pigs, whether we should keep playing it, because you and I saying we were playing it over and over again. Let's see. Christia, who's listening in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, she writes, I was listening to the show yesterday via IE America Radio Network and heard the discussion about whether you should keep the War Pigs bumper. You should. Ozzy rocks. But you might want to try and get a copy of the CD Sabbatum by Rondalus. You might have already heard it. It's Black Sabbath songs translated into Latin and performed in a medieval-ish early music fashion. War Pigs is the first cut. Sabbath with a twist.
Now that would be a twist.
Yes.
A definite twist.
We got Lillian back, but we're going to have to wait.
Lillian,
we
maybe
promise.
We should just give her the whole, you know.
Well, we also have Susan from Florida, so we've got a lot of people waiting. You can join us. 1-800-TALK-YES, Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan.
Nice drive, Jim.
Ah, thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Well, let's move on to somebody who is evil but very bright. That would be Ari Fleischer at the briefing today.
The job of anybody who is the White House press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking and why he's thinking it. And that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. The job of the press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
When do I get to my Game Boy? Hey, it's time for lunch. I want to take a nap. How do you spell Putin? Let me see. Who's the president of Afghanistan?
You know he tried to kill my dad?
Oh, my God. There's Laura with my milk. Faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
All righty, then.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The Home Improvement Experts and Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at IEAmericaRadio.com.
Now the latest number show was slipping in the polls. I guess without a make a statement, who cares what you think? Let's roll. Cali Liberation, hear the cheers of thanks. Now never mind the bodies broken underneath our tanks. So if you want to go to school on the G.I. Bill, you gotta bomb Iraq, gotta shoot to kill, baby.
The Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Wow, isn't the music out there? That's Billy Eli, E-L-I. And you can go to BillyEli.com and find out more about his music. And let's go to Lillian in Anniston, Alabama, and start with an apology. Sorry I hung up on you.
That's no problem. That's no problem. I appreciate being on the air. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
That's good. You know, the radio station that you're talking from is everything to us. People that's looking real, not really, we're looking at the side. We've been terrorized,
mm-hmm.
and it's a perpetual terrorization. It's not that we're so stupid, but when you are terrorized and scared, you know, we got our back up against the wall.
Yeah, you want to throw your hands into the arms of Big Brother, Big Daddy.
Yeah, well, you know, quarter of us people, when they attacked, they hijacked the airplanes,
mm-hmm.
quarter of us would not cooperate. We said, let's roll, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it is now. Some of us are really, you are the underdog, but I see more of you because you're what the country needs.
Well, I think we're all what the country needs, not just me.
The truth.
And the people.
Yeah, power. You know, we got into this mess by a wicked think tank, so we can get out by a good think tank.
There you go.
What the government refused to do, we do for ourselves. There's more than one way to skin a cat.
Absolutely. Well,
one won't, one will. And you can't, you know, don't look at all the, see, they keep an eye on their insanity. See, when you start watching this insanity and just keep, when you watch it and you get overwhelmed, that's not the way. You know what they're doing and communicate what they're doing, but you don't trust, you know it's not real.
Well, I'll tell
it's
you,
not real.
You got to, you know, you keep your eyes on their lies, you're going to wind up at believing at least part of it. So that's why I think it's always important to turn it off. Lillian, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for listening to WNSI out of Jacksonville, Alabama. Let's go to Susan, who's listening in Florida. Susan, it's Peter Werby at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm so excited about your radio station. I listen to it online.
Well, thank you.
And it's been wonderful for me. I live in a very conservative area, and there's nothing but Rush and Hannity and all those others, and it just...
Where do you live in Florida?
I live in Rockledge.
What's your name? Okay, well, let me tell you this. I live in probably one of the more liberal areas of the country. That's in the Detroit, Michigan area, and that's all we have is Rush and Hannity. So that's why I say it's a great, or what is it, a vast right-wing conspiracy about getting other voices on the air. It doesn't matter where you are. That's all we get to hear.
Yeah, and it's just awful. I get so upset when I hear them lie. You know?
Well, you know what I do? I do, too. But you know what I do? I just never listen to them. I don't turn on Foxhole News.
Either.
Jalene Jordan, you are with us. Okay.
I felt like chiming in.
Yeah. So
I don't listen either.
Turn it off.
Sometimes turns it on, though.
Yeah, you know what we always say? Deal them the cruelest blow of all. Ignore them.
Listen, I have wars, little mini wars with my husband about it, because he thinks that when I tell him to turn it off that I think he's stupid. He thinks I'm telling him he's stupid for watching it. And I don't mean that, and I don't mean to come off that way, but I told him he'd be a whole lot smarter if he would even just hop on the Internet and read a few stories.
Well, there's an old saying, at least I heard it here in Detroit, says if a passerby comes along and sees you standing on a corner talking to a fool, can't tell who the fool is.
My mother always said, birds of a feather flock together.
Thank you, Susan.
Sure, thank you.
Appreciate your call. All right, we're going to take Ben from Beaumont, Texas, when we come back. So, Ben, stay there, and then we're going to be talking with Dr. Peter Rossett. He's co-director of the Institute for Food and Development Policy. It's known as Food First, and we're going to talk about genetically modified food. Hey, the report is in.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express Lawsuit Funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. With less than 2 weeks to go before a contract covering 650 employees expires, managers of the Baltimore Sun are hedging their bets against a strike. The Sun is seeking replacement workers from other newspapers in the vast Tribune Company. Strikebreakers are being offered normal pay plus the salaries of those they're replacing, along with a daily stipend and room and board expenses. The Sun has also offered a $1,000 signing bonus to employees should they accept the paper's current proposal, a contract that union negotiators with the Baltimore-Washington Newspaper Guild say falls far short of the union's demand for $6 annual raises and greater job security.
Workers in the UK will be better protected from workplace stress thanks to a new probationary government code that went into effect yesterday. The code requires all employers to identify and study stress factors on the job classified under six different categories. They must then implement plans to reduce the stressors, and if a majority of workers don't feel the company has successfully lessened workplace stress, they or the government can sue for damages. For the time being, the code is in a testing phase with mandatory implementation expected next year.
A protest over sweatshop conditions in Cambodia's clothing factories turned deadly last weekend. Garment workers in Phnom Penh's textile district had been demanding higher wages and the reinstatement of a fired union supporter when riot police opened fire with Kalashnikov rifles, killing one and injuring 16 others. According to the National Labor Committee, Cambodia's 200,000 garment workers are mostly young women who work up to 80 hours per week for as little as $35 a month. They produce clothing sold at such U.S. retail chain stores as Banana Republic, Nike, Adidas, Old Navy, and The Gap.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Yeah.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
As soon as you're born, they make you feel small by giving you no time instead of it all. Till the pain is so big you feel nothing at all. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be.
The Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
That's John Lennon, of course, in the Peter Werby Show. Working Class Hero is one of those albums he put out, those introspective looks at himself and what made him what he was. Soon after leaving the Beatles and getting involved with Yoko Ono and all that, and that in many ways addresses itself to what we were talking about earlier. I mean, why do people feel like they do? Why do people collapse so into the arms of Big Brother, Big Daddy? Well, part of it are because of the kind of mass psychology that's imposed upon all of us that live in this society. All right, let's go to Ban. Ban is listening in Beaumont, Texas. Ban, hi, it's Peter Werby at 1-800-TALK. Yes, welcome.
Hi, guys. Just as a total aside, did you know if you call 1-800-TALK yes at night, you get a sex phone line?
Come on.
It's not a joke. You really do. other things kind of weird that the same number can do two different things, depending on day or not, daytime or nighttime.
Well, let me see. Steph, do you think that's possible? Are you listening to this?
It doesn't. I'm telling you, it doesn't. Call it tonight and see.
Okay, I will. I will.
Now, you know, real quick, I want to qualify and tell you that I am a hardcore right-wing conservative Republican, and I'm listening to you on Sirius satellite radio, and I think that if you guys have a hope for really building an audience, satellite radio is the way to go for you. It's a good thing. And the reason I like listening to Stream 145, which is what they call, you know, the liberal left station,
sure,
is because even though I'm a conservative Republican, I don't need Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity to preach to me. You know, I'm in essence the choir, so they don't need to tell me. I pretty much agree with most of what they say anyway. So I really more I enjoy listening to the other side. It's more entertaining to me, if that makes sense.
Well, no, I appreciate that. I'm just wondering whether how my voice is doing here. Okay, good.
Well, anyway,
we're having a little technical problem, but go ahead.
All right, just very quickly, talk about the phenomenon where you have what you guys think is some sort of conspiracy where you can't get on the mainstream AM stations.
Yeah.
Where you might have even liberal areas and predominant, because I know you mentioned Detroit. Beaumont, Texas, and I'm sure you're probably not familiar, is down the southeast corner of Texas. It is the last bastion of the Democratic Party, really, of any great strength in Texas, predominantly because it's about 50% black and about 40% unionized with all the refineries, paper mills. Beaumont has a great economic base in oil, petroleum, marine. It's a real strong area, and it's also heavily, heavily unionized.
Okay.
So they predominantly vote Democrat. Now, the irony of that is that at the same time they're listening to Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and B1 Bob Dornan and all these guys, because they vote Democrat because they vote with their pocketbook, and they're going to try to protect their union jobs, and they see the Democratic Party as the best hope for that. And, of course, blacks, 92% vote Democrat no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So, but at the same time, you would be hard-pressed to to get any airtime in that city because, frankly, nobody would listen to you.
Well, you know what? I guess I have to think, Ben, that you're absolutely incorrect because, you know, it's sort of anecdotal that you'll see union people or tradespeople listening to Rush Limbaugh. Most union people I know, and I'm in a trade union myself, the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, find Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and the rest of the wannabes to be absolutely offensive to the, to the sensibility we have about what's best for America, what's best for our family and our communities. Hey, unfortunately, Ben, I've got that's a bad way to put it. Unfortunately, I have to go because we have our guest on the line. But I like talking with you. Please call us back. I appreciate that. Joining us now is Dr. Peter Rossett. He's co-director of the Institute for Food and Development Policy, sometimes called Food First. It's in Oakland, California. And Dr. Rossett, thanks for joining us.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here.
Now, there is a body called the Independent Science Panel, and it released a report critical of genetically modified food and crops. And does this put the debate to rest? I mean, is this going to be a report from a body that will have the kind of impact that one would think?
Well, one would certainly hope so. The 24 scientists from 7 countries who put this report together were chosen to be scientists who are not being funded in any way by the biotechnology industry. That's why it's called the Independent Science Panel, and I'm one of the contributors to the report. And what we did was to review all of the scientific literature on the risks of genetically modified food and as well as on alternative ways to produce food, and tried to produce a balanced report, which on the balance is highly critical of GMOs, as they're called.
Mm-hmm. Now, one could make the – in fact, many of my listeners think I am the devil's advocate anyways, but I'll play the devil's advocate on this.
Sure.
The idea that you have genetically modified foods is actually a boon to mankind. Its internal genetically altered structure means that it can deal with pests and other problems take place in the growing process. They keep better on the way to market. I'm trying to think of the argument.
Well, I mean, what I would say is beware of multinational corporations bringing you boons to mankind. Those of us who remember nuclear power, which was going to be the pain-free way to light our lights, or pesticides, will know that these things usually turn out to have a downside, and often that downside we don't find out about until the damage has been done. In the case of genetic engineering, we know that it creates new genetic constructs that could never exist in nature, never have, never will, except for people creating them. And this generates a whole series of risks, which our regulatory agencies unfortunately have not addressed, basically because of what we call money and politics.
Well, what's unfortunate is that almost all technological developments, I won't even call them necessarily advances, wind up to be part of our existence, our culture, our communities, without there ever being a full debate. And, I mean, for instance, like the automobile, you say, well, gee, don't we all love automobiles? Well, there certainly is a downside to automobiles, and yet that was never discussed fully about how production, for instance, would take place, and what that would do to our communities, what that would do to the need for what fuels them and what have you.
Or better yet, how our government was going to spend subsidies on automobiles versus mass transportation.
All right, well, let's segue back then into GMOs. What's the O in there? Genetically modified?
Organisms.
Oh, organisms, okay.
Because these are new organisms. It's like science fiction almost. They could not exist in nature. They essentially take a gene out of a bacteria, put it into a plant, or out of a flounder, put it into a tomato, and so you have these new hybrid genetic constructs that could never otherwise exist.
Well, now, why do the companies want to do this?
Well, the companies do it because they want to make money. Now, you might question, why will they make more money putting a flounder gene into a tomato than doing regular crop breeding?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that under patent law, you have to make some kind of a major genetic modification in order to be able to patent a seed. And patenting is the way that you can charge many times more than its normal value and make what we would call windfall profits. So genetic engineering has been sold to us as the solution to world hunger, for example, when in reality what it is the solution to declining profits for pesticide and seed companies.
Well, when you have these GMOs, these genetically modified organisms, when they're crops, like, say, soybeans, and maybe you can talk a little about soybean production here in the United States, does that eliminate the need for pesticides?
No, quite the contrary. Most of the soybeans that have been genetically modified by three companies, the most important of which is Monsanto, who are competing with each other for market share in the herbicide market. Herbicides are those chemicals that kill weeds like Roundup.
Sure.
Gardeners may remember that. Well, what each company does is it creates by genetic engineering a kind of soybean that you can spray their own brand weed killer directly on the soybeans, not kill the soybeans, but kill the weeds around it. And so by getting farmers, say, to plant the Monsanto soybean, then farmers are induced to use much more of Monsanto's weed killer or herbicide. So, in fact, this leads farmers to use more pesticide, not less, contrary to a lot of the media PR that the industry is putting out.
Now, how much of genetically modified crops are the American people ingesting, particularly without their knowledge?
Well, I would say that 70% of all processed food, at least, that we consume here in America has genetically modified, genetically engineered ingredients in it. They have never been tested for the risks that they might pose to our health, and there is no labeling to indicate to us whether or not it's there. But because over half of the soybeans, more than a third of the corn, a lot of the canola are genetically modified, and of course, soy solid, soy lecithin, soy protein, soy oil, corn syrup, canola are key ingredients in processed food. It means we are essentially the laboratory rats in one of the largest experiments in human history, and we don't even know that.
Dr. Peter Rossett is my guest on the Peter Werbe Show, and he's the co-director of Food First. Tell us about the name. Why Food First?
Well, our real name is the Institute for Food and Development Policy. We were founded by Frances Moore LePay, who wrote the book Diet for a Small Planet.
Really?
And her second book was called Food First. People loved the name, and it sort of stuck as our nickname, and in fact, our webpage is foodfirst.org, www.foodfirst.org, and people can read about many issues related to the food we eat on our webpage.
Now, I was thinking too, I mean, it is one of those things like, you know, sort of I guess it was part of the, one of the medical movements of the 1970s where they said, people, not profit. So in a sense, the idea that food first and the idea that food that sustains us, rather than profits.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we were the basic principle is if a government has responsibilities towards its citizenry, the very first one should be that everybody has enough to eat. Food first. Unfortunately, in America today, according to the USDA, 36 million Americans go hungry, this despite being the fact that our farmers are plagued by overproduction and low crop prices. But unfortunately, the way our system and our society works, you only get food if you can afford to buy enough of it, and if not, you're basically left out in the cold.
All right, well, let's think globally in this case. Expand that, because we have a world system here in the United States. People, as you said, tens of millions of people are hungry at different times during the day or during a month, and others are at risk of going hungry,
right,
particularly poor children. In other parts of the world, people actually starve to death.
Yes, and according to the United Nations, there are 800 million people in the world who face serious hunger problems. And what our institute does, amongst other things, is we study the food system and we look at flows of food around the planet. And the sad thing, although it won't surprise people too much once they think about it, is that there's a net flow or movement of food around the planet where food flows from areas where people are hungry to areas where people are affluent. That's because we have a global market system, and the global market responds to money, not to human needs. So with all of these free trade treaties like the World Trade Organization, NAFTA, we create this system where food leaves areas where people are poor and hungry and moves to areas where people are well-fed, in some cases even obese, and affluent.
Dr. Ross said when George W. Bush was in Europe a few weeks ago, he was critical of the European Union for the nations there forbidding the importation or the growth of genetically modified organisms. And he said that they were, by this refusal to allow this, that refusal was causing starvation in Africa.
Yes, it's quite ridiculous. The European Union doesn't want genetically modified food because Europeans won't eat it. And completely independently, African countries don't want it because African people won't eat it, just as Mexico doesn't want it, Brazil doesn't want it, Thailand doesn't want it, China doesn't want it. In fact, there are really only four countries in the world, the United States, Canada, Australia, and Argentina, where consumers are enough in the dark that we don't even know we're eating it, let alone have the opportunity to decide whether we want it or not. Of course, the fact that nobody else in the world will eat this stuff, even if they're starving, is a big problem for the biotechnology industry, which is mostly located in the United States. Monsanto makes 91% of all genetically modified seeds in the world. Hmm. Their stock crashed 27% last year, is falling more this year. They have very close relations with the Bush administration. For example, our Secretary of Agriculture used to be a director of one of their subsidiaries, and they are pressuring the Bush administration to force other countries in the world to eat the stuff that nobody wants to eat.
Well, maybe you could tell us this, both as citizens and as consumers. I mean, well, maybe a first point would be to go to foodfirst.org. But also, once we're informed, how do we function in the world? And what do we want to see? First off, I'd like to see would be some truth in packaging, right?
Absolutely. I mean, labeling would be nice. Unfortunately, in their infinite wisdom, the Food and Drug Administration determined that it would be illegal for anybody to pack to label their food as to whether or not it contains GMOs, because this might frighten consumers.
It'd frighten me.
Yeah, it would frighten. Really, what the problem is opinion polls show that if the stuff was labeled, nobody would buy it, just like in Europe. And so industry pressure on the FDA has led the FDA to prohibit food manufacturers from being able to indicate to you that their product is free of GMOs. So people should contact their senators and congressmen and say, we want labeling, we want serious health testing, we want serious environmental risk assessment, and we would like a moratorium on this stuff in our food supply until that kind of testing can take place.
Dr. Raza, just 60 seconds left, but the independent science panel that put out this study essentially says, it's called The Case for a GM-Free Sustainable World. What impact do you anticipate this is going to have?
Well, we hope that it will put to rest this idea that genetically modified food is safe, as well as make the case that there are better, more productive, and more sustainable ways to grow the food that we need and the food that we eat.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for being with us.
It's been a pleasure.
And can we get this the study, The Case for GM-Free?
The entire report can be downloaded from our website. It's on the front page at foodfirst.org.
Well, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it. Well, that does always throw out quite a challenge, because what there really has to be, and sure, contacting our representatives is always a decent idea, but I think most of Washington is pretty inured to the idea that they're going to get the isolated call here and there from a concerned citizen and just tend to fob it off. Then look, who is paying the bills? Who is making the contributions to the reelection campaign? It turns out to be these chemical companies that are behind the genetically modified food. It turns out to be the big agribusinesses. Well, I think we have to get beyond that as well. We need a mass movement that says we need pure foods. I'm Peter Werby. Jalene Jordan will be with me. We'll be right back.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
The Peter Worre Show.
Doug's in Santa Fe listening to KTRC.
Isn't it good that the people that are in power can always contradict themselves?
Yeah, did
Prostitution wasn't legal in Iraq, but yet Saddam Hussein had a series of concubines, one of which our CIA and federal government was getting information on him prior to the war.
Right. Turned out he uses Viagra. But so does Bob Dole. But so does Bob Dole. And thank you for Viagra. How many people are getting to go to Viagra Falls these days that previously couldn't? So it's a good thing.
Did you know this? That Saddam also wrote romance novels, writes them, writes plays and things like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and he likes Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
He takes Viagra, puts on the Frank Sinatra tunes, and off he goes.
The Peter Worre Show, weekdays from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Chris from New Mexico. Welcome to Animal Talk. What's up?
I have a neighbor decided to release 12 piranha into a river up here in northern New Mexico. But I'm wondering, I think that's a crime, isn't it?
It's not a crime, but it's a dumb idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You don't want the fish cops coming after you. Let me
know. Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, could South American piranha survive?
Not in northern New Mexico. And as soon as he dumped the fish in there, they went into shock. They were dead. Now, there are people who have released piranha in Florida, and they are in the canal. They are actually...
Hi, this is the Peter Worre Show, unceremoniously rejoining our network friends. Hi, Jalene Jordan.
Hello? Is this thing on? Hello? Are we doing a show?
I don't know what happened. I think just the computer got a little wonky on us, but it's okay.
Nice.
I actually, I don't know what that little guitar riff was, but I liked it,
I
huh?
think it was David Rovick's.
Well, we've heard enough of you, David.
Yeah.
Although David travels all around the country, all around the world, singing his wonderful songs. You can go to David Rovick's, ROVICS.com, and see all his stuff. He listens on Sirius Satellite Stream 145. That's
yes.
Sirius Left.
And you know what?
What?
Sirius is now offering a home receiver. Fever.
Really?
Yes, I saw it in one of the local ads. Like, I don't know if it was, you know, Best Buy or what, one of those places. But it was not very expensive.
Okay, folks, you can do it. And if you don't know what satellite radio is, it's S-I-R-I-U-S, like the star. So it's Sirius.com. Do I have time for this? Because I was going to say how the kid has unknowingly beaten up on Poppy.
Yeah, now, what did he say?
Now, in here, this is in the Times today, New York Times. In speech, Bush reiterates threat Hussein posed but makes no mention of weapons search. So it said President Bush, that's what they say, today swept aside criticisms that the United States overstated the threat by Iraq as the work of revisionist historians. If we have time, I want to get to that little phrase.
Okay.
And said there was no doubt that Saddam Hussein had been a threat to the United States for the past dozen years. Now he says, he drew applause from a largely Republican sympathetic crowd when he declared that Saddam Hussein was a threat to America and the free world in 91 and 98 and 2003. Now, wait a minute. He was a threat to the free world in 1991? I thought Poppy had finished him off, or finished him off to the degree that George Bush the elder thought was necessary. Remember, they could have swept into Baghdad just as well. But for a lot of reasons, the Bush gang then, the elder Bush gang, didn't want to do it. Now, he's got this little phrase here. This nation acted to a threat from the dictator of Iraq. Now there are some who'd like to rewrite history. Revisionist historians, what I like to call them. Now, this is a phrase, revisionism in history, or revisionist history, is absolutely an inappropriate, I don't know where he picked that up from. Revisionism is when you take, when historians come and they look at a body of history that has been well established and start revising it in terms of new information or new interpretations.
Right.
So this is just a big word or a big phrase that this pea-brain guy sitting in the White House illegally has picked up.
He's pretty good at that. It's one of his finer qualities.
For a pea brain. There's actually an old, Allen Ginsberg poem. What? I'll think about that when we come back, because we got another hour, another T-shirt to give away. Remember, it says, True Patriots Oppose Bush. Back with that and more of your calls at 1-800-TALK-YES. I'm Peter Werby.
Been listening to the Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Erica Kane. The Roman Catholic Bishop of Phoenix, charged in connection with a fatal hit and run, was reportedly trying to replace his car's broken windshield before he was arrested. The Arizona Republic reports that Bishop Thomas O'Brien had made phone calls about replacing the windshield before he was arrested yesterday. He told police he thought someone had thrown a rock at his car or that he had hit an animal. U.S. diplomat John Wolf met with Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas to discuss the roadmap to peace and recently renewed violence in the region. Israeli Foreign Minister Sylvan Shalom says the Israeli government will continue a dialogue with the Palestinian Authority under certain circumstances.
We are now trying to resume the negotiations with the Palestinians
on the security issues. It's very important for the Palestinians to understand that they have to take serious actions against the infrastructure of terror.
Yesterday, Egyptian negotiators tried and failed to get a ceasefire agreement from Hamas and other radical Palestinian militant groups. An American soldier with the 1st Armored Division has been killed by sniper fire in Iraq. Military sources say he was killed while on patrol in northern Baghdad. A military official who investigated a deadly grenade attack at Camp Pennsylvania in Kuwait is continuing testimony this afternoon.
Special Agent David Meyer offered the first concrete evidence placing Sergeant Hassan Akbar at the crime scene. An ongoing Article 32 hearing will determine whether he'll be court-martialed for murder and attempted murder. A fingerprint lifted from a generator light matched Akbar's. He allegedly doused the light before lobbing grenades into three tents. Also, unused grenades were found inside Akbar's mask carrier, and empty grenade canisters and pens were found in his J-list bag. I'm Mary Perrin.
More news in a moment.
Hey, Larry, baby, you want to go for a ride?
Why, Vince, I didn't know you cared.
I don't, but I'm looking for a baby.
But, Vince, we're crash dummies.
Well, your head's about the size of a baby.
What are you doing?
Taking it off! I'm using your head in a rear-facing infancy.
Why?
To show how babies up front are in airbag danger.
You know I get sick when I ride backwards and without a body.
Up in front, kids won't know what hit them when the airbag blows.
Then why do people put their kids up front, Vince?
I don't know. Maybe it makes them feel better to see them sitting by their side. Although, if my baby looked like you, he'd ride in the trunk.
And where are we going, Vince?
Yeah, you know that brick wall with the big bullseye?
I can see it vaguely in the back of my mind.
Well, in 2 seconds, that's exactly where it's going to be. Holy cow, Larry, you're embedded in the seat.
Tire iron.
I can't understand you. I'll go get a tire iron.
Thank you.
You could learn a lot from a dummy. Buckle your kids in the back seat. A message from the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Are you fed up with the cost of living in your area? Try Tokyo. According to a recent lifestyle survey conducted by Mercer Human Resource Consulting, Tokyo has replaced Hong Kong as the world's most expensive city. Moscow took second place, followed by the Japanese city of Osaka in third. The survey considered the cost of more than 200 items, including housing, food, clothing, transportation, and entertainment. London came in at number 7. New York landed in 10th. More after this.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
As the Senate takes up reforms to the nation's 38-year-old Medicare system, Maryland Democrat Barbara Mikulski says seniors need reforms now.
We have to have a sense of urgency. Too much about the Senate is when all gets said and done, more gets said than done. But we also need one where it stays in Medicare. I'm absolutely opposed to turning Medicare over to private insurance companies.
The plan before the Senate includes giving seniors drug coverage for $35 a month starting in 2006. It would also provide discount cards to help save 25%. Smaller versions of SUVs, for the most part, got low marks in recent crash tests. In the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety's side impact crash of 12 small SUVs, the Toyota RAV4, Suzuki Grand Vitara, Chevrolet Tracker, and Land Rover were among those scoring a poor rating. Subaru Forester received the highest grade. I'm Erica Kane, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Ah, the Old West. Bucking Broncos, Calvaries, and water pistols. Thank goodness in Hopalong Cassidy, it's still alive. Under your hood. When we come back, I'll identify one of technology's most wanted. I'm Bobby Likas on the street, talking to people who love their cars. Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover, and from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Blockit fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Blockit fabric by Kimberly Clark.
If your Bronco or F-150 or LeSabre is bucking, it could be from a clogged injection system. A wonder of modern technology, fuel injection systems like tiny water pistols squirt precise amounts of gas into each cylinder. But like clogged arteries, when injectors become restricted with debris, gas flow slows. Result? Vehicles that stutter and waste fuel. For healthy injection systems, don't depend on the cavalry. Once a year, pour a double dose of injector cleaner into a full tank of gas. Run that tank out, then replace the fuel filter. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the Peter Werby Show, where we dare to connect the dots. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, everybody. Yeah, the show that dares to connect the dots, and sometimes it's a pretty ugly picture, isn't it? Hi, Jalene Jordan.
Yes, you are correct. Hello.
Yes, hi. Well, we have one more T-shirt to give away, and this says, True Patriots Oppose Bush, and I got four of these while I was in Santa Fe broadcasting for KTRC in that fine state.
I wish we had like 400 to give away.
Yeah, I know. Right. Actually, Santa Fe is a, well, I didn't say what city, did I? Or did I? Anyways, it's not a state. Santa Fe is a city. I know that. So if you are the first caller, the first-time caller, Am I saying that right? If you're the first caller who is a first-time caller at 1-800-TALK-YES, we will send you this wonderful T-shirt. But you have to go on the air, and you can do one of two things. You can either comment on almost anything or, for instance, how you first learned about this show. So it's 1-800-TALK-YES. And if you are not the first caller and you still want to come on the air, please, I invite you to stay along with us. So it's 1-800-TALK-YES. I've got lots of stuff in the kind of the prize closet. That's what they call it at rock stations, right?
Yes.
The old prize closet is just filled with stuff. I'm going to take this stuff out of the closet, as they say, and start sharing the wealth. Right?
Good. Good, Peter. Good.
Well, one of the big things we've been talking about for the last 2 hours is this absolutely staggering, astounding poll that says a third of the American public believes that U.S. forces found weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and that 22% said Iraq actually used these chemical or biological weapons.
Well, we've had a variety of responses. A lot of people saying, hey, you know what? People are working for a living. Not one job, a couple of jobs, a lot of people, and they're taking care of their families. And really what they're getting are these little sound bites or even snippets of sound bites that they then take and say, well,
there's the evidence.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, listen, it's ABC.
I heard it
ABC
on TV.
ABC wouldn't lie.
Yeah, I heard it on TV. It must be true. I saw it on the front page of that paper. And so what else can we think other than that it must be the truth? And the fact that there is not an opposition press in this country, the fact that very few voices are allowed on television, the next to none of us are allowed on AM radio by this vast right-wing corporate conspiracy to keep the tens of millions of us that oppose the current direction of this country under the misleadership of this illegal administration that carries out illegal wars, that attacks the working class, that attacks women, that attacks the middle class, that attacks the environment, and then scares the pee out of us with this terrorism stuff, and people then rush to the arms of Big Daddy.
Yes. Right.
Here is what Wilson Pickett writes in. I don't know if it's the same R&B guy. Could
Wilson
be.
Wilson Pickett.
I think he may be.
Wilson Pickett's cool.
I think he may be not. I don't know. I don't want to bury
Peter
Wilson.
Peter, I'll be right back.
Okay, you're going to go talk to your dogs? All right. I don't know whether Wilson Pickett is still alive or not. Wilson, if this is you and you're still alive, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bury you prematurely. Anyways, Wilson Pickett wrote in to calltalkyes@yahoo.com, if no weapons of mass destruction are found, then the oil companies have to give Iraqis back their oil. I think that's a good idea. All right, let's go to Bill. He is our winner. He's listening in Pennsylvania. Bill, it's Peter Werby at 1-800-TALK-YES. You have this shirt, True Patriots Oppose Bush. We'll send it out to you.
Oh, thank you very much, Peter. I'm so glad I got through to you. I just got a new Sirius system last week, and I have found a home on Stream 145, your Your program is the greatest.
Now, do you have one of the vehicle units?
No, for home.
So you but, and, yeah, so that's what Jalene was just telling us, that Sirius, folks, if you're just listening, that's S-I-R-I-U-S. They now have home receivers for satellite radio. Anywhere in the United States, you can pick up this broadcast.
Yes, and the reason I picked Sirius is because the competitor, XM, one of the big investors in them is Clear Channel.
That's right.
That's right, and even though I live near Philadelphia, it's wall-to-wall right-wing, frothing-at-the-mouth, you know, rabid right-wing lunatics from the time you get up in the morning until you turn the set off at night.
Well, you know, Bill, you one needn't even mention the location of where we live in the United States, because the same is true everywhere. Like I said, here in one of the most liberal areas of the country, in the Detroit area where I live and broadcast from, same thing. You turn on, you know, they're not broadcasting me. I've been broadcasting in Detroit for 30 years. And I could beat the pants off of Rush Limbaugh in this town. Not trying to say that I could do it in Philadelphia because no one would know me, but people know me in this town. And you believe that the station that carries Rush here knows I exist, and they decided, nope, we're going with this guy, even though his ratings are nothing much to write home about.
Yes, and the people that manage these stations just fail to realize, like somebody mentioned there a while ago, there is a vast bunch of people out here that are looking to hear the other side.
Thank you so much, Bill, and we'll send you the T-shirt out.
I can't wait to wear it.
All right.
Yay.
Thank you.
Okay. You stop those dogs from barking?
Well, you know, I'm experimenting with something called a citronella collar.
Yeah.
So anyone who has dogs who bark. And I like to have my dogs with me when I work. And so I put these on, and one of these dogs just is resisting, but I'm still forcing it.
Have you ever seen when our dog barks? You ever see what I do? I just kind of hold her gently. I hold her mouth shut, and I go, uh-uh. And she goes,
I haven't seen that one.
All right. Here's Eric in Montclair, New Jersey. Hi, Eric. It's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi. Great program.
Well,
I listen to you as often as I can, ever since I discovered you via the Mike Malloy Show.
Okay.
Oh, good.
I was just calling because one of the things that the right wing constantly says, it's one of these, I don't know, Limbaughisms that's just cropped its ugly head out of the slime, is that the liberals, they say that the liberals, you work on emotion rather than logic. And I've never encountered people who just retreat to the lizard brain type emotionalism whenever confronted with fact than the right wingers.
I know. It is just what they call in psychology projection. You project onto the people you dislike the qualities that you, in fact, have.
Well,
now, they are an irrational bunch, and they are just driven by hatreds and resentments and fears, mainly.
Well, one of the things that you pointed out recently was that, really, you call them, they live on planet Bush. They live on a completely different paradigm of thought than rational human beings would.
Yeah.
It's clear
and
out there past
I wanted to
years.
Share with you something that I recently got. I get a lot of, I'm the webmaster of bushflash.com, and I get a lot of email from conservatives and such, naturally. And one of the ones I got recently, I just want to share with your listeners.
Wait, but let me, you went over your website pretty quick. It's
Bushflash.com.
Not BuzzFlash, Bushflash.
Yes.
Bushflash.com. Okay, I'll check it out.
Okay. But I recently got an email, and this is just typifies what I get from what kind of idiocy that these people like to just throw up at you. I asked him, why is the Bush administration sitting on the 9/11 report?
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I get back from him. We elect our leaders to run this country. They do not have to tell us every little reason for every decision they make. Why should the report be released?
Yeah, well, you're talking about deeply authoritarian personalities.
But that just flies in the face of just sane sanity and logic, really.
Well, it flies in the face, in a sense, it does. But it may be more importantly in the face of a democratic nation, because they never want debate, because what they want is to submit to leaders. That's what it is. It's the psychology of submission. And no matter how filled with bluster and all their guns and big trucks and all that,
mm-hmm.
ultimately they are just these little boys that are afraid of daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, and they hate rebels because those are people that threaten to upset the entire system. So,
well, I don't know. I don't look at it from that perspective. I don't see myself as a rebel. I see myself as somebody who's standing up for the traditional values of America.
Well, of course, but what I'm telling you how they view. They view anyone who resists authority, anybody that questions authority, anybody that questions politicians, craven politicians that you know that have a reputation for lying. They say that's un-American. But we know, as the T-shirt says, true patriots oppose Bush. Thank you, Eric. I'm going to check out bushflash.com.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, and keep up the good work, sir.
Thank you, sir. Wow. That's great. I didn't even know about that one. Here's Judith in Arizona. Judith, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Yeah. The other night, I have a group called Socrates Cafe here in Tucson. And one of the participants last Wednesday was talking about the fact that what this government is doing is not in any of our self-interest.
No. Mm-hmm. No, it's in the interest of that small, elite ruling class.
Well, I think it's not ultimately in their self-interest either, because it's just creating unbelievable hatred for us around the world.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to this. There is this poll that just came out. It was authorized by the BBC, and, of course, you know, they're our pals. World opposed to Bush and the Iraq War, and it is astounding how negative the United States government and Bush are perceived by the world's population.
Right. So you can safely say that none of this is in any of our self-interest. And the profound greed that drives so much of what's going on is really unbelievable.
Tell me a little bit. What did you say? The Socrates, what is this now? It's a group?
Yeah, it's called, a guy named Christopher Phillips started it. It's called Socrates Cafe. And it's every Wednesday night here in Tucson. And people come and we talk about an issue. We vote about it at the beginning of the evening, and then we talk for a couple of hours about whatever it is.
Do you want to say, is it something you can tell publicly where you meet? You'd like to get more people?
Oh, sure. It's at Coco's Restaurant on Campbell near Glen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a lovely group. It starts at 7. Some people come early to have dinner. And it's been going on for almost a couple of years now, and it's really a very interesting evening.
Great. In Detroit years ago, there used to be a coffee house called the Cup of Socrates, but it never really made me want to partake, actually.
Yeah, well, there are Socrates cafes all around the country.
Oh, is that right?
Chris Phillips started it. It's at, I think, philosopher.org. But I wanted to share my one thing that I'd like to say. Do you want to hear it?
Okay.
One gender people, one race human, and one culture global.
Sounds
and
good.
Until we feel really connected to everybody else, this craziness is going to keep going on.
I hear you. Thank you, Judith.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Yeah, really.
Bye. That sounds so, as you know, we were talking to caller before, that common sense. But
yes.
I can't begin to tell you how horrible right-wingers would see that perspective.
Of course they would.
Hey, this is from MoveOn.org. They say, even if weapons of mass destruction are now found, it'll be difficult to justify pre-war language that indicated that the exact location of the weapons was known and that they were ready to deploy at a moment's notice.
Whoa.
Because, remember, how else would they know it if they didn't know where they were? They had the intelligence that said they're right there. And remember, I kept saying on this program, you probably did too, if they know where they are, why don't they tell the UN inspectors? So the UN inspectors can go say, tag, you're it.
Just go get them.
You
just
know
go
why?
In there and get them.
Because
there aren't any.
There weren't any. There aren't any. And I don't know what they could possibly figure they're going to do. You know what they're doing is because we don't have like a European form of government, the governments don't fall with votes of confidence. They're just going to, you know, keep, the treading water, and eventually some other crisis will come up, or they'll create another crisis, then everybody...
There's always a way, Peter.
Yeah, and they'll say, weapons of mass destruction. What Enron, what the hell were those two things? I don't even remember. All right, we're going to have Captain Paul Watson from the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society on in a little while.
Oh, yes.
Got callers on hold. Get to you in just a minute. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, You look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express Lawsuit Funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
Sherwood Bailert is a member of Congress and, despite that, not a bad guy. He's a New York Republican who's been in the House for more than 20 years, and he loves the place. Fine. It's said that some people who muck manure for a living come to love the smell, so everyone to their own taste. But I thought Sherwood had been sniffing the congressional perfumes a bit too deeply when he recently declared that the House is, quote, the one institution in the whole wide world that's the personification of this great democracy of ours. Democracy? The great majority of Americans are factory workers, clerks, cab drivers, dirt farmers, teachers, Main Street merchants, programmers, waitresses, health care workers, and the like. How many of them serve in Congress or are even marginally represented by those who serve there? About 70% of Americans make less than $50,000 a year. How many of our Congress critters go to Washington from such an income perspective? Indeed, the U.S. Public Interest Research Group reports that nearly half of the newly elected members of Congress are millionaires, which 99.5% of Americans are not. And if the House is so representative of our people, why didn't we get a pay raise 4 of the last 5 years as they gave themselves? Why don't we have top-flight health coverage paid for by taxpayers as they do? Why don't we get golden no-worry pensions as they do? Phil Graham is one example of congressional apartness from the rest of America. The Texas senator, who just retired, opposed any government program to help regular folks while he slavishly served the corporate powers that financed his elections. He became a millionaire while in office. And now that he's out, we the people will send him a retirement check of $78,534 every year. He'll get more doing nothing than 80% of us will make working day in and day out. This is Jim Hightower saying, that's the personification of plutocracy, not of democracy.
Talk Yes. 1-800-825-5937.
That's John Mellencamp on the Peter Werby Show. Hi, Jalene Jordan.
Hi, Peter.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's called To Washington. It's from John Mellencamp's brand new CD, Trouble No More.
Yeah, the message is good. The song is good. The music is good. He's gone back. He really has gone into these playing some vintage instruments. And he uses, when he came to Detroit, remember, he just set up an old vintage little amplifier and just jammed on a vintage guitar. So
were you
kind of going back to some roots?
Were you down there?
I was.
I was, too.
Well, Peter, we knew each other then.
I didn't see you.
I didn't see.
But you know what struck me about John Mellencamp? Remember, he is a fairly young man, and he had a heart attack, and he was smoking.
Oh yeah, I know.
And on the album jacket, there's a photograph of him looking very 50s, 1950s, with a butt in his mouth. Whew, bad message.
Yeah, he kind of is. He's a little bit hooked.
Yeah. Here's Tim from Hartford, Connecticut. Hi, Tim. It's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hi. And the other thing I respect about John Mellencamp was, of course, Farm Aid, which I think is such an important issue that seems to kind of gone underground again.
Now, they still have them every year, Willie right. Nelson and them. It's just not...
Neil Young.
Yeah, Neil Young's out there.
Right. I remember when it first came out how important, that of a concert that was to everybody. And It's just a shame whether it's, I don't even know whether it's broadcast on, maybe on cable. I called because of your responses to the public's interest in the whole Middle East, thinking that, that the hijackers were Iranian and everything. And I know you don't watch television, but to the millions of people out there, we've known this for years. We've just watched Jay Leno when he goes the jaywalking, where he asks people the most simple, basic questions about government.
Yeah.
And they, they just have no idea. They can't finish the Pledge of Allegiance. They don't know who the vice president is.
Well, one of the things I've implored people, and I do it more on this local talk show I do on Sunday nights in Detroit, is I say, look, if you're really not fully informed on the issue, these are life and death issues, or these are matters of economic importance that's going to affect all of us. Don't even make a decision. Don't get involved unless you're going to be involved.
I think that's part of it also. I think that for those of us who are actually reading the news and keeping up, we just feel that we just have to do something about it and be active. Otherwise, there's a sense of madness. And I have the next big prediction for the thing of mass distraction.
Yes.
And that is troops, U.S. troops in Israel separating the Palestinians and the Israelis. Is this on the horizon?
It could be. I don't know. It's I don't think it would play well with the American people.
Oh, I think it would. First off, the pundits already, Friedman is already pushing it, and he's just it just about goes as far as the Me Too press.
This is what you're talking about, Thomas Friedman in the New York Times. I haven't even seen that. I mean, his column's usually so worthless. I really admire people like yourself, Tim. I mean that take the time to read stuff like that, because I never even get a clue.
Well, it's hard, but it's the fact that, once again, fighting terrorism, we'll have our troops over there, the tremendous Jewish support, for helping the peace process. He would look like, Bush would look like this hero that's finally going to bring about peace to the Middle East.
Well, that's one of their big goals. Is to undercut the Jewish community's support for the Democratic Party. That's a long range strategy that the Bushies have. So,
let me end with this: the fact that we would probably put U.S. troops instead of, remember the United Nations?
Oh yeah, I remember them.
Things that remember when we tried to solve problems with, something that was fairly neutral instead of having an imperialistic kind of thing?
Oh,
yes.
That was back in the 20th century. Thank you, Tim.
Bye-bye.
I appreciate it all. All right, Captain Paul Watson is supposed to call in.
Yes.
You can do that as well. People that call in are notoriously late. 1-800-TALK-YES. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan, we're at 1-800-TALK-YES, and we'll be right back.
You want your son to be a doctor, so you've got to get him to his SAT course on time. You probably want to whip up something quick for dinner. Think fast. Think eggs. Like a microwave egg casserole with ham and cheese. It's delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So your son makes it to his course, gets into med school, and you get free medical care for the rest of your life. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show. Family Talk with Mike Riera is next on IE America Radio Network.
Scientists
Scientists say fires that are out of control burn up millions of tons of coal every year. I'm Jill Ladwig for Earthwatch Radio. A group of scientists say huge amounts of pollution and greenhouse gases are being added to the atmosphere by coal fires that are burning underground and at the surface. In the United States, there are coal fires smoldering in Pennsylvania and Colorado. Similar fires are burning in China, India, South Africa, and Australia. Glenn Strocker is a geologist at East Georgia College, and he studies the effects of these fires on health and the environment. Earlier this year, Strocker and his colleagues spoke about the consequences of these wildfires during a meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Strocker says underground coal fires pose a potential health risk. That's because gas from the burning coal accumulates toxins as it rises to the surface. The gas interacts with underground water in a way that draws chemicals out of underground rocks. Strocker says these chemicals include poisonous compounds such as arsenic and mercury. Strocker says the fires also release huge amounts of sulfur compounds and greenhouse gases, such as carbon dioxide and methane. Strocker says it's almost certain these fires are having an effect on the environment.
We do know that enormous amounts of carbon dioxide and other gases are being put into the atmosphere from these fires, and so it stands to reason that there must be some overall effect to the health of Earth's climate and to greenhouse gases themselves.
In China alone, wildfires consume an estimated 200 million tons of coal each year. Strocker says some fires in China have been burning for more than 200 years. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Show. Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Here's Naomi listening to KTRC in Santa Fe. Hi, Naomi. Welcome.
I'm calling about an article. It says, new law says high schools must cooperate with Pentagon on recruiting. Every school must give them the name, phone number, and address of all students ages 15 and 16. School systems that fail to comply could lose federal money. They've got a gun to their head. And I'm 88 years old, and I am just pissed off.
I'm here to tell you, honey, that I'm bad to the bone.
The Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much, and welcome back. Naomi is bad to the bone, as, George Thorogood. All right, I got too many Johns on my mind. George Thorogood and the Delaware Destroyers, bad to the bone. Here's somebody else is bad to the bone, Captain Paul Watson. Hi, Paul. Thanks for joining us again.
Oh, thank you, Peter.
Captain Paul Watson is the founder of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, one of the groups that is at the forefront and sometimes the only group out there protecting the life that exists. That's what's left of it in our oceans. And a couple of things are going on. This is we've already had the first day of the International Whaling Commission. You're sort of persona non grata there, aren't you?
Well, we've been banned from the International Whaling Commission meeting since 1986 after we sank half of Iceland's whaling fleet, but we still are the only organization that upholds their regulations.
Yeah, and what do you make of this battle that's going on? They're talking about this proposal that would beef up protection of whales. Does it do that?
Well, it was quite a victory for the whales yesterday at the International Whaling Commission meeting in Berlin. They adopted what's called the Berlin Initiative, and this means that the IWC will take a stronger role in protecting whales. But what more importantly, it means that Japan failed to bribe enough countries to join the IWC to get what it wanted, which was overturning of the moratorium on commercial whaling. The vote was 25 for the Berlin Initiative, and 20 voted with Japan, so it needed a majority, and it failed to get that. So the bad news about that is that we predict that Japan and Norway and possibly Iceland will go renegade and just do whatever they want.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when Japan and Norway, here are these supposed to be these peaceful little countries, but have these commercial whaling setups. What's to stop them from just saying, we just don't recognize the authority of the International Whaling Commission?
Well, the International Whaling Commission is recognized by the United Nations as the only authority for regulating whaling. So if they go in whaling in violation of IWC regulations or in violation of international conservation law, now that might sound good, but the problem is there's really no enforcement agencies that will uphold that. So enforcement pretty much falls to non-government organizations like ourselves. It means that our job is easier. Now we can go after them because we have some legal authority behind us. But it's still a vigilante action, and it would be far more positive and beneficial for the whales if governments would just do what they're supposed to do, which is uphold international conservation law.
Now, Captain Paul, your organization, the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, is so active all around the world. On the other hand, it's given the immense nature of the problem, the assault on sea life, you can't be everywhere at once. And I just received, actually, as I was leaving for work, I just received the new issue of the captain's log. So I'm not up to speed. In other words, last time we talked, we were down in the Galapagos and trying to deal with the illegal fishing there. What's been up since then?
That's an ongoing campaign. We have one patrol boat permanently stationed in the Galapagos, and we're arresting poachers regularly, working in cooperation with the rangers at the national park there and the Ecuadorian Navy. But we recently just came back from Antarctica, where we were trying to catch the Japanese whaling fleet, but we were unable to do so. We just can't compete with their access to satellite technology and all the other equipment that they can certainly afford to get. So it was a frustrating trip, but we put a lot of attention onto the issue. One of our big concerns right now is that back in 1990, I was given a talk and I said that by the turn of the century we'll lose 75% of our fish resources in the oceans, and I was told at the time that I was a doom and gloom Cassandra and had absolutely no idea what I was talking about. Well, just 2 weeks ago, two separate studies, one from the Pew Foundation and another one from a joint Canadian-German university study demonstrated that we've lost 90% of the world's commercial fish species. That's a 90% that's been gone, and so really our task now is to try and save that last 10%. But the problem is everything in the ocean is out of sight and out of mind, and we're just totally destroying life in the sea, and nobody really cares about it or thinks about it too much. They just seemingly adapt to more and more diminishment. So, you can't get cod in the stores anymore, so now they're buying turbot, which only 20 years ago was considered a so-called trash fish.
Now, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because that's what I was going to bring up. Yeah, scientists only 10% of big ocean fish are left. And it is easy. If you're here, for instance, in the Midwest, like I am, the oceans, they're pretty far away. And I just came back, though, from a week's stay on one of the islands off of Maine. And now, when I was a kid, I used to go there, and it would be when we'd go fishing on one of these tours that they would take us on, it was almost like working on a commercial vessel. I mean, your arms would ache from pulling in so many fish. And now, when the restaurants have to send into shore to get fish that's been shipped to Maine in order to provide them with fish dinners, the island inn and what have you.
Well, aside from that, the fishing industry still refuse to acknowledge this problem. They're continuing to say everything's just fine, everything's healthy, as fisheries are closing all around them. Just yesterday, in an absurd column in a a main newspaper, the editor of the National Fisherman, wrote an article claiming that Greenpeace and Sea Shepherd have hijacked the U.S. State Department and are dictating fisheries policies. And I said, well, gee, that's certainly news to me, but it's just showing you how paranoid the fishing industry has come, that they feel that decisions made to protect fisheries are only being taken because of radical conservation groups are somehow controlling the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
We wish it were the case.
I was going to say, oh, that it would be true. We talked with a vice president yesterday of the United States Humane Society, which you probably know took out a full-page ad in the New York Times yesterday saying that the Canadian government is back with allowing sealing to little remind me of the species. I'm forgetting.
The Harp and Hood seals.
The Harp and Hood seals that you, Paul Watson, and your organization, Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, was so instrumental in stopping, and suddenly it's back. I mean, I can't imagine the impact this must have on you.
Well, the problem is that as fish populations have been declining, governments have trying to scapegoat whales, dolphins, and seals, so that the Canadian government has now got a quota on seals, which is the highest in its history, 350,000 to be killed this year and again next year. And what they would really like to see is the extermination of the seals, because for political reasons, the fishing communities believe that if they just get rid of those seals and those dolphins and those whales, the fish will come back, as if it's, you know, that's the reason they've disappeared. So, you know, human beings tend to blame everything in the universe except for their own greed for this diminishment. But, you know, it is frustrating that this is happening. And in addition, you know, we're with disappearing whale populations, we have Japanese politicians screaming that that whales are the rodents of the ocean or overrunning the seas. It's just incredible propaganda that's being thrown out to justify their continued exploitation.
Well, on a ferry from the mainland to this main island, it was absolutely incredible. We actually saw a 18-foot minke whale and a smaller pilot whale and a school of porpoises. So, and the way that everyone on this ferry reacted, it was like we were blessed to have, to see this sight. And, to have some politician call them rats of the sea, they're certainly not in touch with the kind of connection I think the world's people have with those sea mammals.
Well, they're only in touch with one thing, and that's the profits that they're plundering from the world's oceans. Really, outside of international limits, most of the world's surface is outside any enforcement of the law, and all these fisheries are nothing more than pirates that are just plundering everything without any thought about what kind of future they're going to leave for the rest of us.
Well, I wonder, Captain Paul Watson, whether you would do this, because I know when we've spoken in the past, you want to understandably talk about the issues and some of the things that have happened to you. You kind of go over kind of quickly, but somehow they stick out in my mind as sort of emblematic of what those of us that live the planet, rather love the planet and love everything that lives on it, face. And for instance, when you were involved, and maybe you could bring us back, I think, what was the early 80s when you were actually out on the ice trying to save these harp seals? Is my memory serving me correctly?
Well, I've been going out onto the ice since 1975, to intervene against the sealing operations.
And I remember one, either you telling us or reading about it, where these sealers actually took it upon themselves to dispatch one of them right in front of you.
Yeah, that was back in 1979. I had been arrested by a fisheries officer for blocking a seal club from hitting the seal, and I was taken on board a sealing vessel, and I was being guarded by a Royal Canadian Mounted Police officer and a fisheries officer, and right in front of me, a sealer walked up, and he had a struggling live baby seal about a week old over his shoulder, and he looked at me, looked at the officers, he threw it down on the ice, kicked it full in the face, turned it around, and skinned it alive right in front of me.
Oh.
And I said to the fisheries officer, I said, that man's in violation of the Canadian Seal Protection Act, the humane clauses, and I want him arrested. And the fisheries officer looked at me and laughed, and he said, I didn't see anything.
Hmm.
And I said, well, you never do. And he looked at me and says, you know what? We never will.
Yeah. And I guess the most frightening incident, I mean, you've been arrested several times. Remember, you were held in jail in Europe for how long?
Well, I was held in jail in Europe for 85 days on a Norwegian warrant, and that was in the Netherlands. But I was found that the charges were dropped because the Dutch court ruled in my favor. But I was able to use that 85 days as an opportunity to publicize illegal whaling by Norway, and it got us a lot of press and television coverage in Europe. So it was actually a good thing that they had me in jail for that period of time. Our most vicious campaigns have been in Canada, where we've been jailed numerous times, never convicted. But during the time that we were held, we were beaten pretty much every time, by sealers or by fisheries officers or the police.
You say beaten?
Oh, yeah. Obviously, I've been beaten many times for protecting seals. In fact, in 1979, again, I was thrown into the water, into the icy water, and then dragged through the water, taken on board of a Canadian Coast Guard icebreaker by Mounties and fisheries officers, and then forced to lie on the deck in sub-zero weather. And every time I got up, they would kick me down on the deck. And and I said, at one point I started to bang my head against the steel deck, and they said, well, what the hell are you doing? And I said, well, you know, if they're going to find my body, there's going to be marks on it.
Wow.
And they pulled me up, and they said, you come back here next year. And this was an RCMP officer. He said, you come back here next year, Watson, and we'll kill you.
Jesus. I hadn't heard that before. Why do you come back?
Well, because, I'm just not going to stand by and watch the world's, marine wildlife populations, whether they be seals or whales or fish, be exterminated. And so we've got to do everything we can fight to do to protect them. I mean, it's a far more noble endeavor to risk your life to protect an endangered species or an endangered habitat than to protect somebody's oil well somewhere.
You know, I mentioned this to the Vice President of the Humane Society of America when we were talking about the new seal hunt being allowed by Canada, and I related the story. Again, I'm always hoping I'm doing it accurately. When you were mobbed in your hotel on the Magdalene Islands, and at that time, I guess the police actually intervened on your behalf. I said it was probably only because the actor Martin Sheen was there.
Well, in fact, the police weren't going to do anything. I had to get Martin Sheen's agent in Hollywood to call Washington, to call the U.S. Embassy or consulate in Montreal, who then in turn got the police to come protect us. But, if you're in trouble on the seal hunt or on any of these issues, forget calling the police. Call your local celebrity or your favorite celebrity and get them to help you out.
And this was what, a mob of a couple of hundred?
300 drunken sealers, yeah. They were threatening. I was beaten up quite severely. They threatened to kill Martin. And, the police actually threw me off the island. They put me in a plane without a coat, without any ID or money, and just dropped me off in an airport in another province.
Hmm.
That was their way of dealing with it. They then went to the media and confiscated their film footage of the incident, which was a deplorable. But a German TV crew managed to stash their video in a snowbank and were able to recover it. So the beating was actually broadcast throughout Europe, although it wasn't, they didn't do it in Canada.
Now, you're a Canadian and by nationality, and the Humane Society has called for a boycott of Canada as long as, trips there and what have you, products, as long as Canada allows the sealing to occur. Are you in agreement with that?
Well, I'm very happy that the Humane Society of the United States has jumped into this fight, and I think that a boycott is the only thing that the Canadian government will understand. I mean, economics is the only thing anybody seems to understand. I think that this is a serious blow, and they're taking it quite seriously in Canada, and hopefully it'll be the kind of leverage that'll help the seals.
About 60 seconds left. It's real. One of the things that's easy to do is to help out the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society by making a donation. It's something I do regularly, and you also get a report of everything that's going on throughout the world on the seas to protect sea life through the captain's log. What else? What else can us landlubbers do?
Well, people can support us either financially or also we're also looking for volunteers all the time, people to come on the ships and to get an opportunity to really get involved. I've had over 2,500 volunteer crew members in the history of our campaign, so we're always looking for volunteers. And people can find out more about us by just looking for our website, which is www.seashepherd.org. That's SEASHEPHERD.
I don't know, Paul, with the description of these beatings. I don't know. I think only the hardy should apply, right?
Well, I should point out, so far in our history, I'm the only one who's ever been beaten.
Uh-oh, so you're the lightning rod. Yeah. I'll keep that in mind. Thank you so much for being with us, as usual. Keep up the struggle. You know, you're out there for us. We're in here for you or whatever. That was the old, Thoreau and Emerson retort. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate it. Bye-bye now. Now, what was that? I always get those kind of things confused. Emerson looked at Thoreau and said, oh, no, I'm confusing two things. All right, my confusion is near terminal here. I'm confusing Emerson and Thoreau with an old industrial workers of the world saying. I'll straighten it out when I come back. 1-800-TALK-YES, I'm Peter Werby. Jalene Jordan will be with us.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, iAmerica Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the charts.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7, yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
The Peter Werby Show.
My website, peterwerby.com. Somebody wrote in, and in fact, they called in to that 800 number, some right-wing nutball, and he's going, between every sentence, he says, anywho, you really suck, and anywho, your website looks like it was put together by a teenager.
Perhaps he's homophobic.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, he did say something about, he says, anywho, your photograph of you smiling, maybe one of your friends is tickling you, if you know what I mean.
Oh, my.
I didn't know what he meant. But, you know, and I thought I ought to try to make it a little more professional, right? But you know how ornery I actually am, right? And so I'm going to keep it like that. I'm going to have it this mess, because what you're supposed to have is buttons.
Texture or something like that.
Screw them. That's what I say. I'm keeping it messy.
The Peter Werby Show, weekdays from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
So all you saps out there in the middle class and the working class, even worse, that vote Republican, get what the big capitalists say. They're not working in your interest. They are working in the interest of the financial and ideological base of the Republican Party, which is the ultra-wealthy and the corporations. And they screw you every day. And you, sap that you are, just go and say, well, I'm against abortion, or I'm against gun control. I got to vote for these guys. Shoot.
That was your part of the bargain.
I changed my mind. Hooray that I don't change it any further.
This deal's getting worse all the time.
The Peter Werby Show. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, Jalene Jordan. Welcome back to you as well.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks.
I was going to unscramble two historical sayings that I kind of conflated there as I ended with Captain Paul Watson. Did you hear that interview, how many times he'd had that crap beat out of him by the cops and whalers and sealers and all that?
Unbelievable.
Wow. Didn't make, all of a sudden, I'm thinking, I'm not shipping out with that guy. But he's
remember
the,
when I told you I want to go out on the boat with him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, he's a big guy.
He is.
I mean,
yeah.
He's, yeah, I mean, and still.
He's like a big teddy bear.
But anyways, I said, what did I say? Oh, yeah. Thoreau refused to pay his taxes for the Mexican War, and Ralph Waldo Emerson came and visited him in jail and said, Henry, what are you doing in there? And Thoreau famously said, Waldo, what are you doing out there? So that was one section. And then the old industrial workers of the world, the Wobblies, as they were called, they still exist. You can go to IWW.org. They would have a drawing of one of their arrested union leaders, and it would say, we're in here for you, you're out there for us. And here's what Chris in Indianapolis writes. It did not surprise me that a third of the American public believes that the United States has found weapons of mass destruction. Look at it this way. 50% of the population has below average intelligence. Right? I mean,
it's that little? No.
Well, no. I mean, that's what Mark Twain said. He said, consider the intelligence of the average man and then realize 50% are even dumber.
Yeah,
average, right? And he, Chris asks, how else do you explain the existence of the Jerry Springer Show?
Oh, for real. Thank you so much for that. And a bunch of those other really dumb shows.
He says, if the only information you're exposed to is what the big medium spoon feeds you, that is all you'll have to refer to. And it doesn't help that the medium of today is geared towards an ADD audience. 30 seconds of sound bites and move on.
At the most.
At the most.
30 seconds is, you're getting a big time sound bite at that point.
That's what I was thinking. And
10 seconds.
Think now in some of these, I was looking at the Bangor News, Bangor Maine News.
Sure.
And I was say, well, what's happening in the world? And they had all the international news in little summary capsules of about 6 inches long or something like that. That's it. And that's it for the show. Shar, thank you so much for being our engineer and phone screener. Jalene Jordan, as usual, couldn't do it without you. Thank you for being our producer and getting us all the great guests and being my co-host and all of that.
You know it, Peter.
We'll be back tomorrow? Hell
yes,
yeah.
Yes, we will.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, folks.
You've been listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime, graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Peter Werbe Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werbe Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't